knowledge about.
Just a minute! Don't hang up! Hello. You'll have to speak up. I'm wearing a towel.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
It's a P-A-R-T-Y because I said so. It is my last show. I want song suggestions. Look, let's just throw it all out. I don't get told what songs... I do get told what songs to play. But I don't get told what songs to play on the last day of my show. So, if you want a song... Susie looking... Oh, my goodness. If you want a song, let's have a party. Party, party.
And now...
Good morning, chuckleheads.
Our feature presentation.
Was that... Did that DJ then... pass out on the floor? Was that the same one, or is that a different one, B? Somebody passed out on the floor, and I said,
yeah.
I think they removed her, right?
Great question. I don't think she's the same one that passed out.
But she might be. She might be.
You know, it's funny. I was listening to that clip. It's from a couple of years ago from a British radio DJ, who, by the way, did end up getting hired and worked for another station and may still.
After that?
After that, yeah. But sweet. Look, who hasn't done a shift drunk?
Right?
And I was thinking, we should do that. We should do that thing that some DJs do where they, you know, they have help around, medical and law enforcement help around to make sure everything goes according to plan, you know, where you get drunk on the air. But then I thought, hasn't Kevin done that like 40,000 times already since we've been doing this show?
How dare you?
Just saying. Wouldn't be special on our show if we attempted that. But that was a spectacular air shift.
She was good. Yeah.
She was super good.
All right, morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday. It's the 10th of December.
2 days in a row, we start out in the great state of Colorado. Yesterday, we had the homeless guy who won the $500,000 in the lottery that caused controversy. Here's new controversy, you guys, out of Pueblo, Colorado. There's a woman named Paige Yore who is getting a lot of reaction to a Facebook post that she put up. What I am doing is not about the fame. It's not about the money. It's not about anything other than touching people's lives in a world where we all forget the meaning of Christmas. She talks about how she went to a Walmart store in Pueblo. Have you guys heard about this yet?
Nope.
No.
I just had this experience. This is a video that she recorded in her in the front seat of her car, which, by the way, has since been taken down. And it really touched home to me that no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, we're here for a reason. She explained that she had been waiting in line for about 20 minutes at Walmart while a young cashier struggled to get customers checked out. He couldn't ring anything up. He couldn't remember the codes. He was taking deep breaths. She estimated the cashier was about 16 years old. She was beginning to feel frustrated that the wait in the line was getting so long when another woman ahead of her lost her temper and started yelling at the cashier because her credit card was declined. That's when this woman, Paige Yore, says she stepped in and tried to calm the woman down. This young man's obviously having a bad day. Let it go. It's not his fault. You don't have any money. What happened next, though?
Did that help?
Doesn't say. Okay. What happened next, though, was that she says the clerk began crying, walked out from behind the register and hugged her and began talking, saying that his mother had committed suicide earlier in the day.
Oh, my God.
But that he had to work to make rent and pay the bills.
Oh.
The lesson in the video was, even if your customer service sucks, even if whatever happens, someone is rude to you being your customer service, don't jump down their throat because they may be fighting a battle that none of us know anything about. So as you can imagine, this is a Facebook post that really took off.
Right.
Well, now she's receiving hateful emails and death threats. Why? Because Walmart says none of it happened and she made the whole story up. Now, look, you can think what you want about Walmart, and we don't know any of the particulars because they're not releasing the video, but they said they reviewed surveillance video from the store and found no evidence that there was any yelling, no evidence that the cashier and the woman hugged,
really?
No evidence. Yeah, none of all. The representative said that Walmart has spoken with the cashier and that his mother is alive.
Well, that must have been great news for him, right? That's crazy. I thought she had died.
What a turnaround.
Wow, what a good day that is.
I'm so glad I didn't take the day off from work when
right.
I thought she was dead. The representative from Walmart said that the cashier doesn't know what the woman who posted the video is talking about. And it, I mean, look,
wow.
I have no idea. I don't have a, I don't have the answer, the definitive answer here. Is it possible that Walmart realizes that this is a public relations nightmare if this guy's working the day his mother committed suicide and they just gave him a bunch of money to you know, to not be involved, not say anything? Yes. Is it possible that this woman is just looking for some sort of, you know, fame or love or attention or something like that and made the whole story up, figuring that Walmart already has a little bit of a public relations problem and maybe she'll automatically be believed and she can say whatever she wants about him? Yes, I guess that's possible, too. The media have been asking Walmart to please release the surveillance video that captured the encounter or not. A spokesperson said they only release video to law enforcement, which is reasonable. So I don't know, guys. What, I mean, what's your gut tell you on this?
95% she made it up.
Why would she have taken the video down of herself in the car?
She said she took the video down because of the death threats and hateful emails that she was getting. She said she originally posted it not for fame or money. She just wanted to spread a message of love, but it had turned into the opposite of that.
She was getting death threats because she said, hey, have patience with people?
No, no. She was getting death threats once Walmart came out and said it didn't happen.
Oh, I see.
So that's why she took it down, is because she didn't want people to – she's deleted her Facebook page, by the way, because she – you know what it's like when the internet turns on you guys.
Sure.
No. Does that happen?
I mean, no.
So you say 95% she made it up.
That would be my guess.
All right. How about you, Allie? What's your percentage?
I think if it happened, she would fight it and be like, listen – let's do this. It happened.
She's still saying it's happened. She still is, when contacted by the media, she's sticking by her story. I don't know.
She's a bitch.
I don't think that's the takeaway. Here's the thing. What's being lost in all of this is the message, which is so true. Every single one of us is going through our own crap.
Right.
Take a little time. Calm down. Be nice. But that's now gone. Now we're questioning this woman's morality.
Well,
and
I mean,
because
it
sucks.
May not have happened. So
it may not
odd.
Have happened, but the message is still right and it's still good.
That's so boring.
It is, but niceness is boring to a lot of people. I don't know. That's sad.
What do you think the percentages are, B?
I don't
that
know.
That it actually happened, and then Walmart went to the cashier and said, hey, this is bad for us. How about if we just
here's
make it
30 grand.
I mean,
yeah.
Of course that could have happened.
Yeah.
I think it's possible. I honestly don't know what to think because I can't get my head in the space of I'm going to make up a story like this and put it up on Facebook. You know, I don't even understand
that. Yeah, that's
that.
True, too. Yeah.
I do understand Walmart trying to make it go away. And maybe that's my own bias about Walmart because of the horrible stories we've heard about the way they treat their employees and stuff. So I really don't know. But
you have to put a percentage on it. I said 95.5.
It seems easy enough to find out from the media. All they need to do is find the kid and check death certificates, that
type
of
thing.
Find the mom. That's all it's going to take. But again, that takes journalism, and not a lot of people want to go that extra mile.
I'll say 73. 30 fake.
70-30.
Mm. How about that? 70-30 fake.
I'll say 60-40.
Wow.
Hmm.
Well, I'll keep my eyes peeled. I'll let you know if there's anything else. I mean, the only way this story ends that most people will be happy is if this woman, Paige Yort, ends up committing suicide as a result of the attempt of the video.
I don't think that's
what everybody wants.
At all.
No, not at all.
I guess we'll see.
Mm. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Well, I'm not sure that's what they want.
It's not what they want, but it's what they need. Right?
And they're going to get it.
We give the people what they need.
I don't think that's the answer.
Oh. Dr. Drew is on the show today.
Well, that's your opinion, and that's what the media says.
Well, I mean, he is, though. I think that could be backed up. Jim Rome's on the program today.
I just don't think he is a good example for the children of Los Angeles.
Listen to Bean.
Bean is loving this.
Look, my goal in life is not to have to talk anymore.
Right.
It's just to hit buttons.
Right.
So I'm very close to that right now.
Also, we have Terry Crews in the studio today.
What does that mean?
It means Terry Crews is going to be in the studio today.
Why?
Because he's on a TV show.
I want to talk about me.
Oh.
Who is this, Bean?
I really don't know.
And we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, both nights on the floor. That's coming up this morning as well.
I mean, come on.
Okay. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with the showbiz beat.
I never dreamt that this could happen. Yes. It's a terrible, terrible nightmare.
Right.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
It is Thursday morning and time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat with our friend Ralph Gurman. Big day in Hollywood. What's going on, man?
Big day. Golden Globes, baby. The Globes. It's all about the Globes.
And that's become a prize that people care about.
Oh, the Globes. It's all about the Globes. I don't really care about the Globes.
You don't? Is it a predictor? Is it one of those that they say?
Bunch of damn Ferners. Bunch of damn Ferners coming in here.
Oh, this is foreign press?
Yeah. That's what the Golden Globes is. It's a group of, eight people who decide who gets awards or something.
Sounds like Ralph's joking, but it is less than 100.
No,
right?
It's crazy. It's a lunatic thing. It is an important award. I don't know how it became so, but it is less than 100 people. These are correspondents from all around the world who report to foreign press, foreign to us,
right.
Not to them.
Sure,
it's probably native to them,
right?
Who report on Hollywood and think show business, and they get to vote on who they think did the best work in television and film, and it's crazy because it's legendarily like you can wine and dine these people.
That was what I heard: is that you just take them out for a dinner.
Whoever shows them the best time usually gets their vote.
Right?
It's madness. It's like the mob. I don't understand how any of this works, but it's a big deal, and the TV show always. Rates high, and it has become sort of a precursor, especially for the Oscars. Ricky Gervais will be the host for the fifth time when the Golden Globes airs on NBC on Sunday, January the 10th. But the nominations were just announced this morning for some of the bigger awards, so I thought we'd do a real quick recap.
All right.
Drama series in the TV category. Empire, Game of Thrones, Mr. Robot, Outlander, and Narcos. Pretty good.
Not bad.
Disparate batch there. Something for everybody. Inside that, comedy or musical series, Casual, which I think is a Hulu series, I want to say.
I think you're right.
Mozart in the Jungle.
That doesn't
Mozart
exist.
Mozart in the Jungle! He can't hear his piano! I love that theme song for that show. It's really good. Orange is the New Black, Silicon Valley, Transparent, and Veep.
Yay.
Best actor in a drama, John Hamm. Nominated for Mad Men. Mad Men went off the air in the late 80s, and he's still getting nominations for awards. God bless him. Rami Malek for Mr. Robot. He's also a SAG Award nominee, like Mr. Hamm. Wagner Moura for Narcos. Bob Odenkirk for Better Call Saul. Liev Schreiber for Ray Donovan. About goddamn yes. time people recognize the mastery that is Liev Schreiber's performance on that show. Drama, actress, Catriona Balf for Outlander. Viola Davis, How to Get Away with Murder. Eva Green for Penny Dreadful. Taraji P. Henson for Empire. And Robin Wright for House of Cards.
That's a lot of good shows, a lot of good actors.
What did I say?
I just said, in my head.
Oh, I see.
But a little came out.
She laughed at
A little came out. God, there's just so many nominees here. So many nominations. So I can't get to them all. But
how many The Walking Dead get?
I don't see that none. Here.
So the usual amount?
Yeah.
It's absurd.
Walking Dead and Sons of Anarchy are two of the biggest mysteries in being snubbed by awards committees in recent years. Yeah. Both such brilliant shows.
Let me hit you real quickly with the actors and actresses for the comedy musical series, because it's a good batch. Rachel Bloom for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, nominated for a Golden Globe for her work on that
comedy.
Oh,
way to go, Rachel.
Jamie Lee Curtis for Scream Queens, Julia Louis-Dreyfus for Veep, Gina Rodriguez for Jane the Virgin, and Lily Tomlin for Grace and Frankie. Best actor in a comedy or musical series, Aziz Ansari for Master of None, Gael Garcia Bernal for Mozart in the Jungle, Rob Lowe for The Grinder, Patrick Stewart for Blunt Talk. Glad to see him get recognized. I love that show. And Jeffrey Tambor will win for Transparent. So you got all that to go on. Yeah, there.
I mean, we have arrived now where these nominees are a mix of broadcast TV, cable TV, internet
services.
Shows. Yeah, screening service. I mean, it's all one now.
It's one world. We live in one world. We finally achieved world peace.
Have we?
Through television.
I'm not positive that has happened.
I'm very excited about this. Hollywood has just announced they're making a movie about one of my favorite historical characters, a fascinating man named Nikola Tesla. And Kevin, of course, you remember who Nikola Tesla
I do.
Is,
I know him well.
I remember it was yesterday we were talking about him.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You know, figures from history rap against each other. This particular one is Nikola Tesla, who of course came up with the Tesla automobile,
uh-huh.
and Thomas Edison. It's really weird to think that there's somebody somewhere writing a rap for the guy that invented the Tesla car.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah.
I mean, it's roughly the same word, right?
It is the same word.
The Tesla electric car is named after legendary inventor Nikola Tesla, who did his best work in the late 1800s.
And invented the car.
No, he didn't. That's what my point was.
He sketched it out before he died.
There's no sketching?
Before he died.
No.
And then they found the plans.
Didn't do any of
that. This is so futuristic.
No,
and then they made it.
No. They made the car, and then in his honor, they named it after him. But he in no way was connected with the invention of that car at all because he had been
long
dead.
It had been passed down from his grandson to his son to his grandson.
Purely a tip of the cap, if you will.
What if I won't?
Kevin, God damn it.
They're making a movie about Tesla. And, of course, his legendary feud with Tom Edison because, one was all AC and the other one was all DC.
Sounds like rock and roll could settle that.
Turns out...
here we go! It's on! Race war!
It's not a race
war. Race war's
at all,
on, everybody! It's going down!
They're both
it's
guys.
Going down! Race war. Come
no,
on.
It's not a
race
war. But turns out Nikki T was right because it was all about the alternating current. Now forget about that direct current.
Does
there,
he go
Tom.
By Nikki T?
Nikki T, that's what his friends used to call him.
Yeah.
Oh, he also invented, what's that thing we call, what's that thing that Nikola Tesla invented? Oh, radio! How about that? That's a pretty good invention for us.
Tesla was one of those guys. Didn't he get ripped off didn't
constantly.
He invent light bulbs too?
Light
way
bulbs
before
were stolen from
Edison did.
Marconi patented the radio after he'd already invented it. Everyone stole every idea he ever had and made all the money. And he famously said, I don't care that they stole my idea. I care that they don't have any of their own. Wow. Boom! Drop the mic,
drop
Nikki
the
T.
Mic.
Nikki T! In the hizzy.
No.
No,
I don't think any of
them. Really, Kevin? Really? Really? Nikola Tesla invented the Tesla car?
Right.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yep. I'm standing by that.
Of course, invented electric car. It's not just that you thought he did. It was the assuredness of your delivery.
We're going to have to agree to disagree.
I don't think we will because one is right and the other is wrong. Who, of course, invented electric car. And it's so weird. They give it a rap for him.
Why I said it twice. That? At least I said it twice in like 10 seconds.
In your mind, Kevin. I'm
Shut
curious
up,
now.
B.
No. In your mind. In what decade did you think Tesla invented the electric car? I mean, were you thinking electric car like in the last 10 years? Or were you thinking in the 70s? Or were you thinking early in the 20th century? What were you thinking?
You're assuming with that question that I was thinking something.
That is a big
Back
assumption,
to you.
Bean.
I don't know.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Emmanuel Shrieky.
Oh. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
That was completely involuntary.
Sure wow. Was. I don't need to ever hear that noise.
And premature, apparently.
Debbie Lucky.
Oh. She's 38 years old today.
She's adorable.
Inexplicably 38, too. I thought she was like 25
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
Nuts. And this is going to be a bad day all day long, boys and girls. Former White Stripes drummer Meg White celebrates her 41st birthday today.
Being the bell
Debbie Lucky.
The bell represents all of us.
All of us.
Yeah, it does. Oh, it's going to be one of those.
Thank you for taking that back. I appreciate it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015 is sold out, and it's this weekend at the Forum, Saturday and Sunday night. 22 great K-Rock acts, your chance to win your way in. I know you're getting nervous now because we're getting awfully close to the actual shows happening, but you still can get your tickets. I mean, we're giving them away yesterday. We're giving them away again today, so keep on listening for your chance to win. All the details at krock.com.
We do, near the end of the year, we do our top 10 list. This year we have a top five with live performances.
Isn't that one of the great perks of this job is being able to meet so many of the musicians who make the music that we admire, get a chance to interview them, and then get a chance to actually watch them perform in such an intimate setting?
Yes.
Some it's of the awesome. Greatest music I've ever seen has been down the hall in the Red Bull Sound Space, and sometimes they're doing it right in the room where we are or the room right next to us that's even smaller than that. So, I mean, you really get a chance to see them create, and we had a lot of great musical acts over the year. This past year, 2015. And as Kevin mentioned, we're going to count down the top five. That gives us a chance to play a little bit of each of the selections that we have chosen. And let me start by setting up number five here.
Well, let me start with the theme.
Oh, we have that? Oh,
Omar has a delightful theme.
I can't wait. I'm sorry.
Live music. Music. We love it.
Love it.
It's legit when bands come in and kill it. Kill it on Kevin and Bean. For 2015,
the top 5 performances.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Omar. That's actually very catchy. Perfect. I like that.
That was touching.
Number 5, and I can't believe it's not higher, only because we're so in love with this band and have been since their first album came out 20 years ago. Garbage stopped by the Kevin and Bean Show. How much fun are they?
They're the best. Shirley's the best.
How in love are all of us with Shirley?
So much.
It's not possible to define, yeah. She's
and the
great
interview,
on every
and she
level.
Just kept ringing the bell.
Yep.
So funny. So funny.
And the shows that they played around town, people just loved them. And you forget how many great songs they have. And it was tough to pull one for this segment. But we've decided Garbage is the number 5 performance of 2015. And here's a little bit of them doing Number 1 Crush. Yes, please.
Come on.
So good.
Right? All right, number 4. Another band that we've been lucky enough to see a couple of times. They played Acoustic Christmases in the past. Maybe Weenie Roast as well. They're a band called Walk the Moon. Very energetic, super fun guys. We know Beer Mug loves them. We know that. Here they are at number 4 doing some of their big song from 2015, Shut Up and Dance.
We were victims of the night. The chemical, physical, kryptonite. Help us to the base and the fading light. Oh, we were bound to get together. Bound to get together. She took my arm. I don't know how it happened. We took the floor and she said, oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said, ooh, ooh, shut up.
That's the other cool thing is that a lot of times they have to scale it down or they want to scale it down and they have to do a different version of it. It's fantastic to hear that stuff.
Kevin, do you remember what the drummer was playing on that live session when they stopped by?
A pizza box.
He was playing a pizza box. That's right, because he didn't have drums.
Yep.
All right, that's Walk the Moon at number 4. Number 3, Kevin, I think is a band that you have really become a big fan of in 2015, much to your surprise.
Look, Fall Out Boy is great.
Okay. Are you
Wait,
being
no, why are you being weird?
I don't know why I'm being weird.
I thought you liked Fall Out Boy, but lately, now that we've seen them a bunch and had them in a couple times,
yeah,
you're like, wow, I really, really like them now. I mean, they're very impressive.
Yeah, there's two different things. There's a band and their music, and then there's the people, you know, in person.
Yeah.
And we've had Pete Wentz in three times, maybe?
Yeah.
Four times?
Delightful.
Really, really great, yeah.
Yep, and they sound great when they're live, too, and they were in the Red Bull Sound Space at number 3 for 2015. Here they are with a little bit of their hit, Uma Thurman.
She wants to dance like Uma Thurman, marry me till I confess. She wants to dance like Uma Thurman, and I can't get you out of my hair. The stench, the stench, the summer sex, the CJ eternity. What a miracle. Oh, keep you like an old damn nothing but damn do us by.
Really good acoustic version of Uma Thurman from Fall Out Boy. All right, number 2 in our countdown of the 5 best musical performances for 2015. You know, it's funny because we're only doing 5 here. We already had Shirley Manson back at number 5 from Scotland, and this next band is from Scotland as well. They are called Churches, and they were really fun. And I remember when they came in because Lauren had a cold, remember? She had a real bad cold, but you couldn't tell when they sang it. Here they are at number 2 with a little bit of their song, Leave a Trace.
And you have best believe.
see her drinking tea just before that, like out of desperation, so her voice would work.
Wow. Right.
And then it came out like that. It's amazing.
By the way, Dave tells me we're going to put up all these performances again as kind of a recap for 2015. Allie, we're going to let you introduce our number one performance of 2015.
My God. Listen to this. First of all, Brandon Flowers, I've heard The Killer so many times live. He's absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But then you meet him. He's a complete gentleman, total professional. He did, I think, 4 songs and a couple off his solo album, The Desired Effect. And when I say nailed it,
yeah,
like to the point where I thought, no one sings this good live ever. And here's just one of them called Read My Mind.
The good old days, the honest man, the restless heart, the promised land, a subtle kiss that no one sees, a broken wrist and a big trapeze. Ooh, if I don't mind, if you don't mind, 'cause I don't shine, if you don't shine, before you go,
before you go,
can you read my mind? It's funny how you just break down. You're waiting on some sign. I pull up to the front of your driveway with magic soaking my spine. Can you read my mind?
Allie's crying.
Keep going. Keep going. Yeah. Don't stop.
Sorry.
Allie really? Looks like she needs a moment for some private time. So there you go. Brandon Flowers, our number one musical performance of 2015. Good stuff.
The top 5 performances of 2015.
How much time do you have left to live, Omar? Because I need to decide whether to send you a Christmas present or not.
Well, here's the thing,
Dean. I think a couple of weeks.
Oh, no.
Here's the thing. Omar was talking to us in the office the other day, and he was telling us about his doctor's appointment. And then he started giving us details of what his doctor was saying. And I swear to God, we were all looking at him like,
sketchy.
Is that possible that you have that? Tell us why you went and what your doctor said.
Okay, the reason I went is because I've always had bad cholesterol.
Okay.
And in the last 5 years, I've dropped some weight, been exercising, trying to eat right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go up my life insurance because I have kids and I got to be a responsible adult and all that nonsense. So I wanted to go get a physical.
Right.
Okay. And I wanted to make sure that my cholesterol was on point. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that it is not.
It's high.
Okay. It's high. Mm-hmm. The doctor says it will always be high. It's hereditary. It is what it is.
And how did he explain that to you?
So he tells me, I ask him, is there anything more extreme or, you know, that I can do and do it naturally? He's all, no.
In terms of diet and
whatnot? Right, exactly. Exercise. He's, I'm doing all the right things. He's a couple minor tweaks. We could improve it a couple of points, but probably not.
Okay.
So he's all like, well, we could put you on this medication, Lipitor.
Okay.
And
I've seen ads for that on the TV.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what he explains to me, there's a sink in the corner of the office, and he says, you know how in the sink the pipes, they get all gunky?
All right, now this is where he lost his speed, because this all of a sudden now we've gone from I'm hearing from the doctor to Omar doesn't understand what the doctor said, I don't think.
So he says, you know, the pipes get this buildup, and then the water doesn't run through. So this medication, what it does, it'll grease your arteries so that the blood continues to flow and nothing clogs up in there.
Okay.
That's what he says to
me. Okay.
So I was like, all right, sign me up. Made sense to me.
So you're saying that he said it would grease the pipes?
It'll grease the pipes.
Okay. Is that what he said? Because that doesn't sound...
That's exactly what he said. He's like, it'll grease the pipes and the blood will flow.
Okay.
All right.
So
he's
just trying to explain it to you in layman's terms.
Absolutely.
That you
something
right?
I think that that's the case, Beam, but we don't know. Because we're only hearing from Omar. I was like, maybe you need somebody to go in, a little buddy to go in with you and take notes.
Maybe.
A stenographer,
maybe.
Something else.
I don't like going to the doctor having
no
been
one
there
does.
5 years, you know. So I was really tired, so I was barely paying attention. But that's what he said.
I
do remember that, you know.
Well, we got some good news for you, O, because it's no way to live walking around not understanding your medical condition or the treatment that's being suggested.
Yeah.
So we asked Dave to track down your doctor, and we have Dr.
What?
Al on the phone with us right now. Hey, doctor.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well.
It's going great. We got your patient, DJ Omar Khan, here with
us. Hey, Omar.
Hey, Dr. Al. How's it going?
How are your pipes doing?
They're all greased up.
Ah, good. Glad to hear it. Glad your pipes are all greasy.
Thanks.
So did he misunderstand what you were trying to tell him, or is that the correct analogy for the Lipitor medicine you've prescribed?
Well, Lipitor in quotes.
What do you mean in quotes?
Well, I don't use the actual Lipitor. It's very expensive.
Okay.
Okay, so it's generic Lipitor then.
What am I taking?
I got a buddy who whips this stuff up in the bathtub, and it's very similar to Lipitor, kind of the same thing.
Well, nobody wants homemade medicine. I think that should be professionally.
Oh, really? Tell that to your grandma, who would give you chicken soup when you were sick.
Right. Well, he's got a point.
Right.
Argue that.
Okay. There are no weird side effects with this other kind of drug that you...
Well, here's the thing. A lot of people think once you already have plaque buildup in the arteries that's it. There's no way to get rid of it unless through surgery.
Right.
But not me. I got grease. I got grease pills you take, and it just...
wait. Grease pills?
So, wait, it's not literally grease in pill form.
Well, I don't know. Define literally.
Is it actual grease in pill form?
Define actual.
It's grease in pill form.
It's a capsule with grease in it, yes.
That can't be good for my cholesterol.
But it's going to do great things for your pipes. So look, you got everything. You're going to have greasy pipes, you're going to have high cholesterol. Listen, you're going to have high cholesterol anyway. Nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. You're a walking time bomb. You're a dead man walking.
How much time does he have? Because I don't think he got that.
I don't know. What time is it?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Like 6:30 in the morning?
All right. I say noon.
Noon? No. Wait, noon today?
Man, noon someday.
Are you an actual medical doctor?
I am
a literal medical doctor?
I'm a medical doctor, and I got a degree in medicine.
Okay. All right. Well, you should know what you're talking about then.
From
sorry, Omar.
School.
It's been fun.
From what?
From a school.
What school?
What school? What?
That's client patient privilege, I think.
I don't think it
I
is.
I don't think no. it is at all.
Just where you went to.
I went to Hogwarts.
Okay, you know that's not real. That's
what's
happening, Dr. Al?
Get me some grease. Somebody get me some grease. Grease. Give the guy grease. There we go.
You solve everything with grease?
I'll tell you, it's a wonder. It really works wonders. You know, it pays off being a mechanic. That was my first job. And I've had a little grease used to fix everything. And it's true. It fixes everything. That's it? No more questions?
I don't feel like Omar's in good hands, that's all.
Are you kidding me? He's the slipperiest guy in that room right now.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, excellent.
Look, I know it's bad form to fight in front of the guests, but earlier this week, Kevin, who was it who looked around the room and said, you guys need a vacation?
Bill Burr.
Someone was yelling at somebody about something. He said, seriously, you guys need a vacation. You guys need to dial it down. And it continued again yesterday after the show when Ralph and Dave got into a conversation that we might need some help from the listeners on. Ralph, you want to set this one up?
It's so frustrating in that room because Dave is just so wrong so much of the time that usually I can just put my head down and ignore it. But yesterday was just madness. He started claiming all kinds of movies were Christmas movies that aren't Christmas movies.
Okay, so we tried to come up with our five favorite Christmas songs, and that was a fail. But we've been talking about Christmas movies, and now it comes into the whole arena of, is it a Christmas movie or not?
Right. And I say the minute you start having to question whether it's a Christmas movie or not, you've already lost that battle, because Christmas movies are very self-apparent.
All right, so Dave, what was the movie that you were so interested in being declared a
the
Christmas movie?
The movie I'm talking about, I was talking about, is Gremlins.
Right, not a Christmas
Listen,
movie.
You think it's not, but it really is.
No,
it's not
it really
a traditional
isn't.
Christmas movie, but it's a Christmas movie. It's a little campy horror/comedy film.
Right,
okay.
Right, not a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
It's a horror comedy film.
Okay, does but it it's happen- a Christmas movie.
Just because it happens to be set at Christmas time, maybe that does not make it a Christmas
movie. That's my point, Kevin. You've crystallized it perfectly. Just because a movie happens to take place during Christmas time or have Christmas as a backdrop does not necessarily make it a Christmas movie,
okay,
which is
so,
very specific
so
kind
what
of
you're
film.
Saying is A Christmas Story is not a Christmas movie just because it so happens that this family
No, I
is,
would think it's
dealing-
safe to say A Christmas
okay,
Story is
but-
a Christmas movie.
But why?
It's Christmas in the title.
All right, listen.
It's about the holiday of Christmas itself. Now, could not be more of a Christmas movie. Gremlins, to the best of my knowledge, is about not feeding little furry things after midnight or getting them wet or showing them.
Let's start with that
sunlight.
that little Mogwai. He's a Christmas gift.
Okay.
So this is the byproduct of a Christmas gift.
I mean, you know, guess what? Michael Corleone and his fiance go Christmas shopping in The Godfather. It doesn't make Godfather a Christmas movie.
I think it does.
but wait. wait a minute. Hold on a sec. And I haven't seen Gremlins in long enough to get into the finer points of it. But if the Mogwai is a Christmas gift and he wreaks havoc on the family's home at Christmas time, seems fairly legitimate to make it a Christmas movie.
No,
if
it takes place during Christmas, it doesn't make it about Christmas. It doesn't make a movie about Christmas just because it takes place during Christmas.
It takes place on Christmas Eve.
Okay, so then Jaws is a Memorial Day movie, right? We should classify Jaws as a Memorial Day movie because it's about a beach opening when summer starts on Memorial Day.
I'm okay with that.
Of course you are. Because you're always wrong.
One of the other ones that we've been arguing about is Die Hard, which is the exact same thing. The original Die Hard was happening during Christmas time, and she was at a Christmas party.
Yeah,
but
it's one Christmas party. That's it. That's
Wait, you don't think Die Hard is a Christmas movie?
But it takes place during Christmas. It's all about a Christmas party.
Yes.
It has to be a Christmas movie.
Is there a present in the Christmas party that decides to do terrorism and start killing people? No.
What?
Wait, the Gremlins is a terrorist movie.
What was
now?
The question? Die Hard. It has to be about a present.
What I'm just saying is the Gremlin, which, you know, multiplies and
it's becomes, a terrorist.
It's terrorizing that community. Yeah. All right, let's see how it opens. It opens with a Christmas song over a snowy town.
Wait a minute, there's snow?
Yeah.
So does Lethal Weapon. Lethal Weapon, the girl, is a Christmas song, and she throws herself off the balcony and lands on that car. In the very opening moments of Lethal Weapon. Is Lethal Weapon a Christmas movie?
That's just a setting.
May I also suggest...
Jesus Christ!
Wow.
May I also suggest... Burn this place down!
I want to also throw out that Almost Famous opens with a Christmas song as well.
Well,
by
then,
the way.
According to Dave, that's a Christmas movie, Bean. Congratulations.
I would not think it's a Christmas movie. And then we started arguing about Home Alone. Because it is Christmas time and the family's going away and they leave the little kid at home. Is that a Christmas movie?
That's a gray area. I'll give you that one. I'll give you Home Alone. It's not a classic Christmas film, but certainly there's a lot to do about the feelings of Christmas and family and stuff like that. So I could see where you could classify
The Gremlins Home Alone. Sing Christmas carols. Come on.
Look, Dave, I'm not saying that there isn't Christmas stuff happening in Gremlins.
What I'm saying, it's not a traditional Christmas movie, but it's a Christmas movie. No. It can be labeled as a Christmas movie.
No, it's not. You don't see, you know, everyone doesn't gather around the television every year around this time and sit down to watch Gremlins together.
Oh, I would disagree.
Well, you'd be wrong.
I would disagree. There are people who watch it.
You think NBC is a big evening? Oh, watch our evening of Christmas programming. We've got The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, and Gremlins is going to be on.
I bet you'll air on TNT or TBS this year.
What?
It does.
Hey,
it happens.
Damn,
I hate being right.
I'm going to throw something out.
I'm sorry, what, Dave? I hate being right.
Yeah.
And you must never hate anything. You must be the happiest guy I know.
Yes,
I'm not trying to gum up the works here, but my favorite Christmas movie of all time, which is also my favorite movie of all time, it could be argued is not really a Christmas movie, and that's It's a Wonderful Life.
How could you argue that's not a Christmas
because
movie?
Because it ends with a scene at Christmas time. None of the rest of the movie is about Christmas.
No, it begins about Christmas time as well.
Very little of that movie
doesn't he throw himself off the bridge on Christmas Eve instead of going home to his family?
Yeah, it's set at Christmas
Spoiler
time.
Alert.
Exactly, yeah. Ooh. But I mean, the movie covers the movie covers his entire life. Very little of it is about Christmas. You never even see anything.
Him finding out about his life is a Christmas miracle. He sent an angel on Christmas by God. No,
that's not debatable.
It's
real.
You can't debate that. That's exactly what that film is about.
Ralph, you can't use that language.
It's Christmas time. I can use that language.
I don't think that's allowed.
That's Christmas language.
I don't think it is.
That is the language of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Sure, it's not at all. It's the opposite.
By the way, they are watching It's a Wonderful Life in Gremlins.
I'm going to take everybody out.
Wow.
Christmas, mother.
Yeah, we can't say that either.
I think Dave is bringing up a lot of good points.
Right,
for Gremlins,
right.
By the way, I do.
Oh, a gremlin uses a Christmas tree to try to kill Billy's mom. What's up? The Pelters are bringing Christmas trees. They own a Christmas tree farm. Come on,
Dave. You put up a Twitter poll yesterday. What did the peeps say?
My Twitter peeps said 58% Christmas movie.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. It was close, though, huh?
These are his
and these
close.
Are the people that follow you?
Yeah. Close. It's close.
They barely got your back.
It
they're the
doesn't
ones
matter.
That follow you specifically.
It's on the right side of the 50%.
Just barely.
Christmas movie.
Doesn't it worry you that it's only
58%? Not at all. Because that other 42%, they don't get it, man.
I see.
Just like Ralph. They don't get it.
Yeah, well, okay. we're so lacking in Christmas movies. Dave's got to jam Gremlins into the Christmas movie category.
And how about when Kate talks about how she hates Christmas?
Look, I'm
Stop
trying to say
her
that
her dad dresses
as
Santa Claus,
in that movie
tries to go down
to
and surprise her, and dies.
Are you the same guy that yesterday said Love Actually wasn't a Christmas movie?
No, I said Love Actually was a Christmas movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I won't kill you right now.
Yeah. Gremlins is a Christmas movie, and we are not leaving till Ralph and Kevin admits it.
You know what? If you pull up the poster for the movie Gremlins, nothing.
There's a Christmas tree, though. There's a present behind.
Nope. Even the movie itself isn't trying to sell itself as a Christmas movie. It has no concern for Christmas whatsoever.
The Gremlin is sitting in Santa Claus's lap in the poster, though, right?
No Christmas. Nobody cares about Christmas.
Have you seen the picture of Gizmo with the Santa hat on? Boom. Christmas.
Just a random picture?
That's from the film.
That's from the film.
Yeah.
Christmas.
I'm not saying take stills out of the movie. I'm saying how did they sell the film? But
they wrap up Barney and Christmas tree lights. His dog.
Ralph is not arguing that there's not a mention of Christmas in Gremlins.
Right.
That's not his argument.
Not
what
the,
I'm
we're
saying, though,
about.
Is it's a Christmas movie. It has Christmas details. It can be Christmas. Just because it's not a happy, oh, Merry Christmas, ho, 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 it's Christmas.
So then, like I said, Jaws then is a Memorial Day movie.
Look,
then,
I'm fine with that. It's a summer movie, yes.
But it's Memorial Day.
It's
for that particular holiday.
Let's have one Memorial movie. Yeah, Memorial Day movie.
Okay.
Admit it.
All right.
Christmas. Gremlins is a Christmas movie. Say it, Ralph. Gremlins is a Christmas movie.
Listen to that. You hear that?
Gremlins is a Christmas movie, Dave. All right, cool.
That's me.
We got it.
You're the worst.
Once again, I'm the master impressionist, Dave. And showing off his skills.
Has us all fooled. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Oh. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Worst.
At 6:53
now.
Why? What are you complaining about now? Because we tried to hay at the end of the,
tried to hay and I
the
mics
song. The mics weren't up and there's no haying going on.
Should we start the song again? Or?
Yeah, one more time. Play the whole song.
Hey, actor Terry Crews from Brooklyn Nine-Nine joins us. He's also in that new Adam Sandler, The Ridiculous Six. We have many questions for Terry later on the show. Jim Rome, Dr. Drew. But we're going to open up the phone lines for you right now if you want to call on any topic. It could be something we've talked about so far today or something you can't believe we haven't talked about so far today. You have questions or comments. It's your chance to get on the air. What do I always say? Why listen to The Kevin and Bean Show when you can be part of The Kevin and Bean Show? Why complain about how bad the show is when you could be making it better?
I've never heard you say that. So
I think I'm going to start. 1-800-520-1067. Phone lines are wide open for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Call now and be on the air. Join us just after 7. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday.
So all the folks tweeting me right now asked me to punch Dave in the throat. I hear you. I feel you. And yet HR will not allow me to act on those.
But families. Will they know?
Well, they might.
You know?
They might.
What's up?
Now we know. Speaking of punching people in the throat, now we know who paid $2 million for that Wu-Tang Clan album that no one will ever hear. It was the one-off, the one album they made, remember?
That's right.
Yeah, their deal was like a piece of art, right?
Right, a piece of art. They were auctioning off to the highest bidder. You can have a one-of-a-kind Wu-Tang Clan album. And we did talk about the fact that it was sold for over $2 million earlier, about a week ago we talked about that. But now the buyer's name has been released.
Turd Ferguson.
It's not Turd Ferguson. It is, now you know why maybe they didn't announce it initially.
Okay.
It is a gentleman by the name of Martin Shkreli.
Okay.
Martin Shkreli was that CEO of that drug company. He bought the drug company and then he upped the price of that HIV treatment pill from $13.50 to a pill to $750 a pill.
Oh, that guy.
Remember that guy who price gouged?
He is a dick.
He is.
Yes.
And he price gouged the folks that were using that medication to support their immune system.
Asshole.
And he was the guy who purchased the one-of-a-kind Wu-Tang Clan album Once Upon a Time in Shaolin. He said that he was worried that the Wu-Tang Clan was going to back out of the deal once they found out who was offering the highest price. And he said he was glad they didn't. Now, the Wu-Tang Clan, RZA in particular, has come forward and saying the sale of the album was agreed upon in May before Martin Shkreli's business practices came to light. We have decided in the wake of this to give a significant portion of the proceeds to charity. So they're trying to make up for the fact that they sold their album to a dick.
Right.
By giving some money to charity.
Well, I hope the guy drops it and breaks it, if that's possible.
He said he hasn't listened to the album yet. He said he's saving it for a special time. He said, I could be convinced to listen to it earlier if Taylor Swift wants to hear it.
What?
He's saying if Taylor Swift wants to come over to the house, then I'll put the album on. The two of us can listen to it together.
Is it Bean? No?
It's not Bean. Did not buy the album, no.
Does he go by two names, maybe, we're not aware of?
No, I'm pretty sure it's not the same guy.
Awful.
Yeah, he's a horrible sleazeball.
And by the way, I don't know that this matters, because obviously this guy just wanted to be the guy to own a thing that no one else has.
Right.
What are the chances this album is really good? When was the last time the Wu-Tang Clan put out an album that was really good?
It's not
high. Likely, right?
Those odds aren't bad.
It is odd that he wouldn't have listened to it yet, though. After spending, what did you say, $2 million?
Yeah. Said, I'm going to save it for a time when I need a pick-me-up. I'm going to...
Maybe it's a downer of an album. Maybe check it out first.
I think I'm going to kind of save it for a rainy day, he says. This guy's hard on every possible.
When I'm bummed out about all the people that died of AIDS because they couldn't afford the medicine that I own.
Right. I'll pop on that album.
Wow.
Yeah, he's awful. On every level. Hey, you know what today is? The anniversary of the first Playboy magazine hitting newsstands back in 1953. And now, tomorrow, will be the last issue that ever features nude women in it. Way to bookend a legendary publication that is ruining itself.
But it's not going to continue on after tomorrow. You're saying that's just it? It's over?
Oh, no. Oh. They're going to continue, but now Playboy will not have naked women. It'll just have articles.
So they're going to try to be like Maxim, another publication that went out of business.
Right. They want to be more like that. Instead of going out of business on their own, they're going to follow the other person. So.
What are we going to do, by the way, guys, seriously, about finding pictures of naked women, though?
Yeah, they are nowhere else.
Impossible.
I know. That's a good point, Pete.
I guess I'm going to start my own magazine. Garboy. Come on, don't you want to go to the Garboy Mansion?
I hope that's not the final title.
Nope.
Game. Meet the...
No.
Meet the Garboy Fawns. Instead of bunnies, I'm going to have little deer tails, put a little detail and like antlers on girls and make them work at a club. Come on, I got it all thought out.
I don't think you have quite.
Fawns. Fawns are my jaw.
Rob, you have so many good ideas, you can't implement them fast enough.
That's what I'm saying. It's just too much. And it may be time for us to do another call-in segment on You Met Your Idols.
Okay.
And Embarrassed Yourself. Because I thought this one was pretty good. You familiar with the actress Ileana Douglas? She's a
yes, very talented.
Works in a lot of independent film. Martin Scorsese, he's a big fan, uses her a lot. She is woman enough to admit that when she met her idol, Marlon Brando, she completely fell apart. Upon meeting him, the actress says she literally burst out crying and started to blubber to the legend, "Everything I am and want to be is because of you."
Whoa.
So she's just broke down in tears in front of this man. Now, you would think that would be a disaster, right?
Right.
But you said it went well because at that point, Brando broke into tears as well and started to cry, and the two of them hugged and sobbed together.
Oh.
Is it possible they're just both nuts?
That is very possible, yes.
That's ridiculous.
It really helps if the person that you adore is just as crazy as you are, and then you come together in a meeting of the minds.
What a bizarre story.
Yeah. But it could have gone very south if she had just been crying in front of the guy. And he was like looking around saying, is there security around someplace?
What's happening?
Yeah. Or she could have said, you're great.
No one would say that. That's ridiculous, Rob.
More embarrassing, I think. Kevin said that once to Magic Johnson.
To Magic Johnson, yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Former White Stripes drummer Meg White is 41 years old today. Oh. And actress Emmanuel Shrieky turns 38 as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the show up his feet.
Four tickets for both nights of this weekend's Acoustic Christmas Concert later this hour. Right now, it's time for What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
What's good indeed? As Omar said, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number you can call on any topic at all, whatever's on your mind here today. And I don't want to spend too much time going back to the what's a holiday movie and what's not, because we kind of already put that to bed. But I think let's give Eric his time. He's in Pasadena. He's on line one. He's coming from a place of a guy who's done a lot of research on the topic. Eric, welcome to the show. What's good?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very good, thank you.
So I actually wrote a paper about this topic back in film school, so I can definitively say that Gremlins is a Christmas movie.
Hold on. You can definitively say it because you wrote a paper?
Yeah. I've done the research.
Yeah.
That sounds a little shaky, using yourself as a reference.
If I write a paper saying that you're an unmitigated douchebag, does that make it a fact?
It might.
Okay.
All right. Let's hear. Let's hear the evidence.
Okay. So essentially, if you take away all the holiday dressing, all Gremlins is an allegory for giving pets to children who aren't ready for it. All the chaos that ensues once they turn into Gremlins, all that is, you know, dog tearing up your house, families taking over for it. So essentially...
Now let the man speak.
Oh,
come on.
He's
bringing a new wrinkle to the story that nobody had brought up before.
This is Hollywood. We don't like wrinkles. I've got some Botox.
Let the man talk.
So essentially, all it is it's about gift giving. The only time to really give gifts is on Christmas.
Eric, I'm sorry.
The only time you give gifts is on Christmas.
What about birthdays?
Nope. Only Christmas, Kevin.
Anniversaries?
Nope. Only Christmas, Allie.
All right.
He wrote a paper, though, Ralph.
He did write a paper.
Deny that.
I appreciate you calling, but the phone is ringing. There's nothing I can do about
it.
I'm guessing he wrote a paper with crayon. That's my guess.
All right. Let's try Eddie in La Mirada, please. He's on line 5. He is up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Line 5, please. Eddie, thank you for calling. What's good?
Hey, party people. It's about the Mystery Science Theater 3000 reboot. Right?
Woo! Yeah.
Woo! Woo! Only about two days left. 2 days left for the Kickstarter.
That's right. There's a telethon tomorrow. They're doing live episodes, and Joel's going all out.
That's right. They're doing a live telethon, and Joel's going to be there hosting and raising as much money as possible before the time runs out. And they're really close to raising all the money they need for all 12 episodes. So
you guys have to contribute and get, like, an end joke in the episode.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
That is an option. That
I want something from Kevin, like the terrorist situation. How great would that be?
How dare you?
The whole episode, though.
Eddie, how much money, refresh my memory, because we had Jonah Ray in on this a couple of weeks ago, but how much money are they trying to raise?
I think it was five.
$5.5 million will do a full season of 12 episodes.
All right, let's go to Dave. Let's go to Dave. He is at Kickstarter Central and get the update. How much have they raised with 2 days left to go?
No, not Dave.
They have raised 4,376,707.
All right, so they're going to need a big push here in the last couple of days, then, it sounds like.
Great. I don't even know how much they have.
Oh, and Meg White is...
All right, Eddie. All right, take it easy.
All right, Eddie. You got a lot to offer.
You mocked me successfully. Let's just move on.
Was he saying Meg White was beautiful, by the way?
No,
I don't think so. Oh, too bad he's gone.
He's banned.
What a shame.
He's so right. Yeah. All right, I hate to start another world war because I feel like Ralph is this close to an aneurysm already today, but let's go to Charlie on line 4, please. Charlie joins us from Simi Valley, and he's got a complaint. I'm sorry to say, Mr. Garman.
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, first time, long time. I got a critique for Ralph.
Please.
I'm from Philadelphia, and there's no freaking word called joined. You're mispronouncing what the brothers say, which is joint, like the Beastie Boys song, uh-oh. It's the joint.
Wow, Charlie, you're just way wrong on this.
Yeah, where did you go to high school?
Northeast.
Boom!
Northeast? I thought you were a LaSalle guy, no?
Went to LaSalle University for college.
I thought the LaSalle old boys school might have done that to you. No, it's
so you think it's white people trying to say joint but unable to say it properly?
How come in the movie Creed they actually do a whole chunk on the word John?
Well, you know, over time things become distorted. You know, bad means good now.
By the way, Ralph, did your accent used to sound like Charlie's?
Just like that.
Wow.
I've been here 26 years.
Yeah, you need tell to lose your it. Voice. Tell your voice,
You've been
Charlie.
Here for 26 years and your voice still sounds like that, Charlie?
What's that?
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Appreciate that. All right, we got time for another. Who do you like here, Kevin?
John is a thing, by the way. It's a real thing.
Yeah, I kind of don't want to go back to Gremlins. You want a happy story? You want Javier on line 6?
Sure. He's going to
cheer us up.
Story.
It's too happy. Just for the holidays?
Hi, Javier.
Hey, how's it going?
What's good?
Good. What's good?
Hey, so I was like doing some like random researching last night because I was just bored, and I stumbled upon the smog problem in China. Have you guys heard about that?
Yes. Yeah.
I have seen some of these pictures where it looks like the foggiest day you've ever seen in your life, and it's like that in some cities every day.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's because of, like, the okay, so it's colder outside, so it kind of, like, all the moisture in the air kind of traps everything, all that smog in, and it just makes it even worse around this time of year.
Especially, right.
I mean, every single day there's over 4,000 people every single day that die. And just the other day there was like a 16-car pileup, and we couldn't see any of the pictures because the smog was so bad.
Wow. Hey, Bean, you said this is it's gonna cheer us up.
4,000 people a day, you're saying, are dying as a result of breathing problems from smog?
Yeah, and car accidents regardless, yeah. I mean, wow. But the Chinese government, they say there's good things for the smog. I mean, I didn't really look into that too much, but they say there's benefits from it. I don't really know what those are, though.
Yeah, vitamins, a lot of vitamins in smog.
It's good for the skin.
It is, yeah. It's good too, yeah.
All right, well, there you go, guys.
Silver lining.
There's your silver lining.
Well, that was an up call.
I told you we'd end this segment being happy. Thank you for calling.
What's good?
All right, you are running out of days because the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015 shows are this weekend, Saturday and Sunday night at the Forum. We're talking about four tickets for both nights for you if you call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. You are going to have to earn them. You will play a game coming up just after 7:30, but call now, 1-800-520-1067. Good luck from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Students in England can now study pizza in college.
Yeah!
Where was this when I was in school?
Right?
I would have graduated had this existed when I went to college.
This is really sort of crazy, but they're working with Pizza Hut, and they're actually doing a college course.
It is a part of a new degree from Manchester Metropolitan University. As Kevin said, they have teamed up with Pizza Hut. They will teach you everything from how to make pizza, health and safety aspects, financial analysis. You, when you are done with this course, it sounds like you're going to be ready to open up your own pizza place. Plus, you, I imagine, get to eat lots of pizza while you're studying.
Well, quality control, yeah.
Sure.
I mean, you can't just put it out there without tasting it first. So right. We wanted to find out more about this, and we asked Dave if he could line somebody up. And I'm not sure who we have, but I think we have a representative from the school. Hello there, sir. Can you hear us okay?
Hey, I can hear you just fine. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
How you go?
I'm sorry, but our producer neglected to tell us your name, sir. We don't know who we're talking to.
I am a professor. Anthony Confalone.
Confalone. All right, professor.
There you go. It's everything for you there, United States, America. I love you.
Well, we love you, too. Congratulations on this course. It sounds like it's a lot of work, but also a lot of fun.
We're going to have a summer fun.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you about a summer fun we're going to have.
Please.
Making a pizza pie, the most perfect food everybody loves so much.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, but are you going to do that every day?
Every day we make a pizza pie. What kind of pizza pie you like? Hey, what do you like on your pizza pie? You like a mushroom? You like a black olive? You like a sausage? Hey, you like a sausage? Hey, I got a sausage right here for you. Hey, that's right, lady. How about a little sausage?
I mean, if you're offering.
It's a spicy sausage, too.
It's my favorite.
It's a bigger spicy sausage.
Okay, this is going.
You're going to like my sausage. I can make a thin crust, I can make a thick crust, I can make a Chicago style, I can make a New York style. You name it, a pizza, I can make it.
You know what's really interesting is I think that if you were to ask 100 people on the street what's the best food of all time, I wouldn't be surprised if pizza were the most common answer. What do you guys think?
You ask 100 people on the street, hey, what's your favorite kind of food?
Right.
100 people going to say pizza.
All of them. I don't know everybody, but
everybody going to say it.
Most people, though, I think.
And anybody don't say it, we take them in the back alley, right? And we take it, hey, come here. Hey, what's that? Your shoes on that? Boom! We hit him in the back of the head with a piece of metal pipe.
I don't think we need to do
then
that.
We kick them in the teeth until they cannot eat the pizza no more because they don't deserve to eat a pizza without teeth. if they don't love a pizza, they can drink a soup.
I would be very concerned if I were one of your students if I get out of line and say the wrong thing, Professor.
As long as you say you love a pizza, then we have no problem. You say you don't like a pizza, then we got a problem. Then I punch you in your face, I kick your head, I take a hand grenade, I put it up in your hiney.
Whoa, this escalated quickly.
I don't say I got to put a pin. I just say I got to put it there.
Oh, okay. Now, is it, forgive me if this
I like the beads okay with that.
Yeah.
As long as you're not pulling the pin, that's good. That's good. That's good with me.
Forgive me if this is a stupid question, but is it difficult to make the perfect pizza?
Oh, what's the matter, you? Got any respect? This is a place. Shut up, you face.
I'm just asking. I figured you're the expert. How often do we get a chance to talk to an expert pizza maker?
Of course it's hard to make a perfect pizza. You think I make a perfect pizza every time? No, I don't make a perfect pizza every time.
Okay.
You don't. Okay.
But I try. I try so hard to make a perfect pizza. I cry tears, and I cry sweat so much, and I work so hard on the pizza, and maybe that's why the pizza's not so good, because it's all full of sweat and tears.
So it's like maybe that's not what you want.
Oh, it's smelly and wet.
Oh,
and I'm done.
That sounds awful. All right, so the course is underway. Have you started teaching yet? Have you had your first class of graduating seniors? What's going on?
Yes, I'm a teacher. So far, so many kids, and they all so much love a pizza.
Uh-huh.
And I'm here in England to teach a class.
Right, right.
And it's amazing because they go, hey, it's food that's not brown. And they love it so much.
Yeah. Sounds like you're going to be very popular over there, then.
Oh, they love my sausage here in England. Hey, England, you want my sausage?
I'd like to take your course. Can I do that from here? Do you do it online?
I don't do it online, but I come to your house.
Oh.
You
got a wife?
Oh.
I'm going to bring her some sausage.
No, I don't.
That's one of the bands you'll see this weekend from the floor if you win tickets to both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. We have our contestants on the line. It's time to play the title fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's title fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
Well, I have bad news for one of the callers, and that's that Dave is available to be your partner.
That's good news.
That's what he meant. And making her debut in the title fight is Allie McKay, who is going to try playing it today. Kevin, why don't you explain to the callers and the listeners at home and the ships at sea how this one works?
The ships at sea are listening? Title fight, they're going to get you to say the name of one of the bands of one of the nights, but they can't use the word, so they're going to give you as many clues as they can give you without song titles as well, right?
No songs.
That's right. No songs.
Okay. Okay, so you...
Nothing about the band. You can't even say, like, the band's from Chicago or something like that. You're not talking about the band. You're just trying to get them to say the words that are in the name of the band.
Yes. That's right. And neither Dave nor Allie has looked at their list yet, so they're just going to be doing it blind. You'll have 45 seconds to name as many as you can, and you can pass. If you feel stuck, you can pass and then go back.
Yeah, but you're either going to get all artists from night number one or night number two.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, that's a good hint also. Let's start with Cruz. He's on line seven. He's in Anaheim, and I think he is going to be our first contestant here on the title fight. Hey, Cruz, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Have you heard the title fight on the Kevin and Bean Show previously?
Yes, actually, I have.
Right. And how do you do when you're playing along in your car and you're listening?
Oh, man. Hopefully I do a lot better today. Let's put it that way.
All right. We are going to make you go first, so there's a little extra pressure on you, but we're also going to give you your choice of partners. Would you like to have Dave read your clues? Not Dave. Or would you like to have Allie?
Allie.
Right. Oh, Cruz.
A lot of pressure.
Come on, let's do this. We got it.
45 seconds on the clock. Name as many as you can. And again, the good advice was if you're just completely stumped, you can go ahead and pass and come back to it at the end if you still have time. Good luck.
Okay, is it both nights or one night?
Okay, this is the sound you make when you can't breathe. Maybe you're laughing so hard you
Weezer.
Make the... Exactly. Okay, number two is it's a huge fortress in Paris, and then they stormed it.
Bastille.
Yes. This is a huge animal. It has a trunk, big ears, tusks. Yes. Your wife, when you're no longer dating anymore, she's your blank wife.
Ex-ambassador?
Yes. This is something like in law when you give a new... Yes!
What?
Yes.
We are the best! Yes!
How much
time congratulations, Cruz! You're going to night number one. You're going to both nights on the floor.
How much time was still left on his clock? It's still going.
I'll let you know when it ends.
Oh my God!
You rock.
You rock.
Well, you're a great contestant.
There you go. That was it.
Sorry, you're out of time.
What did he use?
Congratulations.
20 seconds?
That was amazing.
That was crazy.
Wow.
Wow. Cruz, you're one of the best contestants we've ever had.
Excuse me?
Allie was also great.
Thank you.
Yeah, Allie was fun.
Yeah. All right.
I have feel bad for Gary because, A, he has to come up with an impossible amount of in a short amount of time, but, B, he's got Dave as his partner. Gary, what'd you think about that?
What's up? It's all right. Let's do it.
I mean, do you want to just hang
Gary.
Up? You just want to give it up?
No, let's do it.
We're going to get night two. All five from night two, 45 seconds on the clock. Good luck, sir.
All right, if you're outside and there's a bunch of trees, where are you at? A bunch of animals?
The forest?
Yes.
I don't know.
What's the forest considered?
All right, pass.
Pass.
A girl. Opposite of inside.
What is happening?
Pass.
Oh, you're terrible. All right, when you go crazy, what do you do? You know, it's another word for a club. Old word for a club.
Oh, man. No, pass.
All right. Dude. All right. Where do you live? What's it considered?
The world.
That's good.
A little closer, a little closer. The surrounding areas around your house. Oh, he did good.
Oh, he was so close.
I did good.
All right, so the trees and the animals, he was looking for Andrew McMahon, and the wilderness is what he was looking for. He had.
I don't know that anyways.
Okay, good.
All right.
That's good.
All right, well, good start. He was looking, you know, for Fallout Boy when he was doing the girl and the opposite. What did you say, Dave? I hear
opposite of the inside.
Yeah, well, he's looking for Fallout Boy.
Yeah, you said opposite of inside, opposite of in.
Right, he was looking for a dance club. It was Panic at the Disco.
All
the
right, neighborhood,
the neighborhood is your is the around the where your house is. I mean, he did. He was giving you some weak clues.
It was me.
It was
actually a little of both.
You got to be honest. Well, it sounds to be. Thank you very much for listening and for playing, though, Gary. We appreciate it. Nice talking to you. Let's go to our man, Cruz. Cruz, how about on the floor for both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015? How's that sound?
Oh, hell yeah. Awesome.
When you see Ally McKay, if it's okay with you, Ally, I think you deserve a big hug for you guys working together on this project.
Absolutely, and I love vodka.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Oh, yeah! 106.7
K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:51.
We will talk sports with our friend Jim Rome coming up just after 8 o'clock, and then a very funny and talented actor, Terry Crews from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, joins us as well. First, though, Rob's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning.
Yeah, I do. Congratulations to Ron Howard. Ron Howard just seems like a guy you want to hang out with, doesn't he?
He does.
The best.
Just one of the nicest, most talented guys in the world. Well, Ron is getting his second star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning at 11:30 a.m.
That's a thing?
Oh. Yeah, well, he got the first star for being a TV star back in 1981. Of course, his long history of being a child star on the Andy Griffith Show and then going on to superstardom on Happy Days for many seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So he got it for that, and now he is getting it in the film category for his work as a director and producer. So his partner, Brian Grazer from Imagine Entertainment, will be on hand to help induct him onto the Walk of Fame for a second time. And actor Michael Keaton will be there as well. And a guy dressed up like a giant bird for some reason will be following Michael Keaton around.
That's a well-deserved star.
Oh, hell yeah.
Agreed.
Kevin, there are lots of people with multiple stars. I think Gene Autry has 5 on the Walk of Fame.
That's
well,
too many.
There are 5 different categories you can be inducted in. I think it's recording for music and spoken word recording, television, film, stage, I think. And then as a 5th category, I can't quite remember.
Looking good.
Looking good, just looking good.
It's a looking good category.
That was Autry's first one, I think.
Looking good.
He had that hat. Remember that
says,
hat?
Looking good.
He had that hat. They said, hey, Gene Autry, looking good. And they gave him a star. That was awesome.
Or banging. One or the other, I don't know.
That's a badge.
That's a merit badge.
Yeah. Merit badge, my bad.
Kate Upton has a cornhole injury.
What? I apologize for that. I didn't realize I was being so rough.
Oh, yeah.
No!
Debbie Likey.
No!
That went south so fast!
Allie, come back. Allie?
No, she's doing the right
Allie
thing.
Allie McKay?
Come on.
Just walked out of the studio.
Hello, Dare.
What happened? What's going on with my Kate Upton?
For those of you who aren't Bean, cornhole is a game that you play where you toss bean bags into a piece of plywood that has holes, and you get various points for whatever hole you land the beanbag inside. It's a popular game played at pregame tailgating festivities and sporting events. Very popular game, cornhole.
Mm-hmm.
And Kate was playing with her family after playing with her parents over the weekend, and she tumbled, and she's got a huge bruise on her leg, and they sprained her ankle.
Wow.
She takes it seriously. And she says her cornhole injury is still quite painful, even after lots of tender, loving care. So we wish her the best, and we hope that
her cornhole injury heals up nicely, and she's back in business.
Well, she got
what's better than that? What do I have that's better than that?
I'm just trying to.
Why don't you want her to heal up nicely and able to cornhole another day?
I just don't want Bean to continue with his commentary.
And the Weeknd is in trouble.
The Weeknd.
It's just the Weeknd. He says this. I know.
Why don't you read?
I know it's spelled
a name,
right? But it's
once in a while. W E E K.
Right, N D, right?
N D.
Right, but it's the Weeknd.
Weeknd.
Right.
It's Weeknd.
Okay.
If it was Weeknd, wouldn't it be W E E K E N D? Isn't that how you spell Weeknd?
It is.
Right. But, so Weeknd. So no, we're all agreed finally.
Okay.
Yeah, he's being sued by the composer of music for a low budget film called The Machine.
Okay.
The composer claims that The Weeknd stole the bass line from the soundtrack to the movie without permission. And since his song, The Hills, is a huge hit, Cutting Edge Music, the composing group for the film, wants to get paid. Now, there's been no comment yet from The Weeknd. And usually these cases are largely without merit. It's someone trying either to get a cash grab or trying to get some attention or trying to get some notoriety. And so usually I scoff.
Right.
Pish, I say usually.
Right.
But in this particular case, there may be something to it. They've got a tweet that they posted that was sent back in March by one of The Weeknd's producers to the composer of the movie music that says,
"Oh no,
huge fan of what you did in The Machine movie, might make it to The Weeknd next album."
Ruh-roh.
So it would seem that if nothing else, there was certainly they were aware of that music, and the producer went as far as saying, "Hey, we'd love to take that and put that on his next album." And they did, and there was no compensation and no permission given, so this could be a real thing.
Someone's getting paid.
I would think they'd have to with that kind of evidence.
That's Scooby Doo Bean.
What?
Ruh-roh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Check it.
But Ruh-roh's forever,
right?
Sure, that's forever. Everyone's always said that. Ruh-roh is forever. Hey, Carly Rae Jepsen's in the news again.
Oh, dear God.
What's going on with my sweet Carly Rae?
She's a huge talent and should be protected from all the haters.
I'm chuffed that she didn't get nominated for any Grammys. That's
oh, my God. Why'd I come back in?
Seriously.
He just said chuffed.
I don't even know that word.
Oh.
Is it old timey?
It's not a word used here in the United States of America very much. But
what is going on with Carly Rae Jepsen?
She's extended her North American tour.
Okay,
great.
She's got a new leg that she's announced. That
she's got a new leg.
Oh my God,
that's cool.
That's why she needs to be protected.
She's got a new leg.
She's added a leg.
Right.
Oh my God, that's even weirder.
To her tour.
Oh.
The new dates begin in Raleigh on February the 12th, and then they will wrap up in Long Island, New York on March the 26th. So if you're on the East Coast and you want to catch CRJ, here's your opportunity.
I'm going to go to every date. That's going to be my new thing. It's like a deadhead. I'm going to follow her around the country, just go to all of her concerts. Just hang out in the parking lot before the show.
Yeah,
okay.
Deadheads, we're going to
do it. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
A lot of people are celebrating this week as the networks are starting to announce the folks that they've picked up for additional episodes and seasons of their shows. Homeland got renewed for a sixth season from Showtime.
So good.
Which is good news. The Affair also been picked up by Showtime for a third season. Both of those shows end their current seasons on December 20th, so that's coming up. And Wayward Pines on Fox, the M. Night Shyamalan series, has been picked up for a second season of 10 episodes. First show did very well. It averaged around 9.4 million viewers each summer.
That's a surprise.
Wow.
Over the summer. The second season will begin where the first left off, with a new arrival in Wayward Pines who finds himself in the middle of a serious rebellion situation. Matt Dillon will not be returning to the show. No new casting announced on who.
He was the star, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He was the FBI agent.
I don't know if
couldn't get out.
Spoilers still.
Probably not.
Probably affect for this show. He passed in the first season, but they're going to recast with another star and then carry on with all the crazy shenanigans going on there in Wayward Pines, a.k.a. Twin Peaks Light. This is not showbiz, but it needs to be announced.
Okay.
Whew, it's exciting times. Dunkin' Donuts!
Yes.
Coming to the Southland, boys and girls.
That's my John.
Aren't they already here?
Yeah, yeah, but this one's going to be in Hollywood.
Where?
Right in the heart of Hollywood.
Where?
Right in the heart of it.
Where?
You know the heart?
Yeah.
Just above the lungs of Hollywood?
Yeah.
Right there. 6201 Hollywood Boulevard. Dunkin' Donuts has rolled out the pink carpet for a grand opening December 12th. Was that Saturday?
Saturday, yes.
It'll be the grand opening of the Hollywood location, and they're going to give out donuts and coffee and all the great things that make Dunkin' Donuts just a sweet-ass place to be.
Mm-hmm. Is this an East Coast thing?
Oh, yeah.
That you guys celebrated so much because it just seems like it's good?
Oh!
Oh my God. It's the best.
I'm not saying
Dunkin'
it's bad.
Donuts.
You give me a regular and some munchkins, and your day is made. It's the best.
Okay, I rest my case.
Donuts taste good.
Right, that's what we're saying. Kevin, you're missing out on the magic.
I'm saying it's fine.
It's the best.
It's beyond I just don't understand the crazy over-the-top excitement.
You're the worst.
It's not Krispy Kreme, for God's sake.
No, Krispy Kreme can't even wipe its butt
please.
With Dunkin' Donuts.
Right. They shouldn't even be allowed to call them donuts.
Right.
You can't even call them the same food stuffs.
Hmm?
They don't even share a common dough.
Wrong.
Let alone a nut. The donuts. King of donuts. Kevin.
It's pretty good.
You don't know.
Sit down.
Sit down.
Sit down.
What do you know?
I'm saying it's fine. It's fine.
Go eat a cactus.
It's fine.
Go eat a cactus. That's what you know. That's what you should eat. You should eat sand and cactus. That's all you should eat. You don't know from Dunkin' Donuts. Arizona boy. Go eat a scorpion. Or rattlesnake, whatever else they had there.
Keep naming things in Arizona.
Arizona that I would eat.
Keep going.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Former White Stripes drummer Meg White is 41 years old today. Stop it. Just stop it, Bean.
She's fine. See, this is what happens is that she's fine. And then Bean does that, and then
we have to fight the other side of the
fight. Which we don't really want to fight because she's fine.
Right. We don't want to fight it, but we have to fight it.
Stop being bad.
And actress Emmanuel Shrieky celebrates her 38th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Let me tell you about your one-stop sports destination between 9 and noon each day on the radio at AM 980 The Beast and all across this great land of ours. It's the Jim Rome Show, hosted by Jim Rome himself, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now on K-Rock. Hey, Jim!
One stop, baby. One stop. What's up, guys? How is everybody?
Everybody is great. It's a pleasure to talk to you, sir. And I'm starting to think that I am not excited as much as I should be over the Golden State Warriors winning streak. At what point does it need to capture the imagination of the public that doesn't even follow basketball because it becomes so historic, Jim?
Oh, you should be hyped. You should be hyped right now. And
really?
If you're not, that's on you, not them. I mean, talking in December, for instance, about winning 70 games is a joke. But these guys are a joke. In fact, it was ridiculous about a month ago. They've won 23 straight and counting. They're doing it without their head coach. And the reason why you should be focused on this, the other night, like, Indiana was going nuts. The fans were in the fourth quarter against Golden State, not because they beat them, because they got within 9. That's how crazy Golden State is. You cut a deficit to single digits against these dudes, and it makes your entire season. That's because Steph Curry comes in, he burns your house down. If for some reason you can slow him down, Klay Thompson will light you up for 39. And if either one of them is off, Draymond Green will wreck you and talk junk. It's an awesome thing to see, and I think they're going to win 70. To tie this one up, the Toronto GM came on my program, and I said, how do you beat these guys? He said, quote, pray to God. And even that's not going to help. Mm. They're that good.
Look, the Golden State Warriors are already the current champions of the NBA, so they were a good club coming into the season. What happened, though, to make them seemingly even better this year than last?
Fuel. They've got this crazy fuel. I think a lot of times when you win it all, you get kind of fat, you get happy, you take your victory lap. It's like, we did that. Great. So now we're going to enjoy it. Not these guys. Like, they took heat. People were saying they got lucky. They're not all that. Steph Curry shouldn't have been the MVP. James Harden should have been. They've just got fuel. They've got this huge chip on their shoulder, and they just want to jam people. So they're really hungry. They're a year better, but they're even hungrier than they were when they won it the first time. And that almost never happens in sports.
Jim, you've been around athletes your whole adult life. What about mentally? Does there come a point where it becomes too much pressure, where you can't even have an one-off night?
Yeah, I would say so, except these guys have their off nights, and they still win because they're so deep and they're so talented. Their C game beats almost anybody else's A game, and to them it's just personal. And as far as the pressure, I don't think they feel it. If you look at these guys, they're just balling up, man. They're boys. They're having fun. They pick each other up. They've got a good way about them. They're coming at it from a very good place, and they're really, really good and really, really deep. I mean, I can't find a single hole or any ding in them at all. They're better than they were last year.
I think they're going to win 70. Is part of the problem that it's so early in the season? Do you think that...
That you don't care? Yeah. That it's too early in the season?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's the longest season ever. The regular season doesn't mean jack. Nobody can get fired up. But, I mean, guys, 23 straight?
Yeah.
23 straight. And I'm looking at their schedule. I don't see... But they're not going to go the entire year undefeated, but if they can make it to Christmas when they play LeBron and they're unbeaten and they roll him on national TV, then you cancel Christmas. You have permission. You have permission to be hyped. That's just a phrase. Allie, that's just a phrase.
Okay.
I don't mean cancel Christmas.
Oh,
I mean you can cancel Christmas.
Okay, got it.
All right, last question on this. If you had to guess, how many in a row are they going to roll off before they finally lose one?
I'm going to say they're
30
gonna get
through, in a row?
The record's 33. I'm going to say at least 33. I think they want the record. I think if they don't get it, it's not the end of the world. But they've got this thing about them. They've got their targets. They've got their edge. If you're asking me, I'd have to look at the schedule, but I think they're going to get that record, and it's 33. They're going to keep coming.
Switching sports with Jim Rome here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I know for a lot of people they don't want to hear from baseball, but we got to address Zach Greinke, who most people, I think, expected to re-sign with the Dodgers. San Francisco was flirting, and then at the last minute, Arizona swooped in with an unbelievable, unprecedented, historical offer. Is there such thing as paying too much for a baseball player, Jim?
Bro, so you're pumped up on that, but not Golden State. Listen, if you guys know this as well as anybody, you are businessmen. If the check does not rubberize, if it doesn't float, then he's worth it. And especially if you're Arizona, because it seemed like he was going to L.A. or San Francisco or L.A. But if you know anything about Zach Greinke, never assume anything with this guy. He's just a different dude. And I think we can assume this about anybody. You back up the Brinks truck and you pay him more money than anybody who's ever played the game, they're going to take that money no matter what. So, yeah, I mean, the Dodgers decided that was too much. They didn't want to pay a guy that age who had that many pitches in him a sixth year, but Arizona needed to, so they did it. I don't blame them at all.
I get why, and we talked about this last week, I get why San Francisco was attractive because they are winners, and they've won, what, three titles in the last 5 years or something like that. Do you think he has a chance of winning a World Series with Arizona? Are they that good a club?
Yeah, and that's the question, right? If you're going to go, because we were led to believe this guy's all about winning, and then, well, if he's all about winning, why is he going to Arizona?
Right.
They're trying. I mean, if they were to throw this money at this guy and then do nothing else, that'd be one thing. And even then, how can you fault him? It's that much money, but they're trying to go out and get other guys. They got Shelby Miller, which is a good deal.
Right.
So it doesn't look like it's a one-off or one big splash. Then they sit out. They've got now the potential to be one of the better rotations in the league. And they just ripped one top starter from a division rival, and they kept him from going to another division rival. So are they the team to beat? Are they going to win a championship? No, but they're competitive. They're much better. I could certainly make an argument they've got a chance there.
That's a key point. It's a huge deal being within the division. Let me just say one more thing about that, and then we'll move on. For people who think that baseball is boring and easy, Zach Greinke will make over $1 million a night that he starts throughout the 2016 season. And that is just
must be nice. Good work if you can get it.
Wait, does that negate it being boring?
Oh, no, it's still boring.
Okay.
How dare you?
It's dull as hell to watch that guy.
He's rich and it's boring.
Right. Yeah. All right, last topic, the 12-0 Carolina Panthers aren't great, according to the numbers, was a recent headline in the USA Today. We've asked you before, Jim, how many games in a row in their undefeated season do the Panthers have to win before people start saying, hey, that's a pretty good club?
Yeah, apparently more, right, if they're still getting that kind of hate. I mean, come on, every single week somebody's making noise how they're the worst 10-0 team ever. They're the worst 11-0 team ever. They're the worst 12-0 team ever. No respect, and especially from one of my favorite dudes, Mercury Morris, who played for the 72 Dolphins, who did go undefeated. He said, quote, do you know the second biggest canyon in the U.S.? No, because everybody only knows about the Grand Canyon. Nobody cares about the second to do anything. Now, personally, guys, I'm going to call bull. I'm calling bull on that. Everybody knows the second biggest canyon in the U.S. Everybody. Bean, tell them what it is.
I don't have any idea.
Bean, Jeff. What is it?
I don't know.
Kevin, you know what it is.
The Snake River.
Wrong answer. Allie, what is it? Flaming
Gorge.
Wrong again. Oh. Guys, guys, everybody knows the Palo Duro Canyon.
Palo Duro Canyon.
Out of the tip of my tongue.
Never heard AKA of it. Grand Canyon of Texas. Come on, Merck, we all know that. Except for these three.
All right. Look, well, we just got
they're
schooled,
not, they're not getting respect. Look, they're not getting respect because they play in Carolina and because folks don't think they're good. Trust me, they're good. They're hearing all the hate. They're running on that kind of fuel as well. You can't fluke your way to 12-0. Merck is fronting that he's not nervous, but you know he is and he should be. And don't ever forget, Palo Duro Canyon.
Yeah, I already forgot that.
Okay, come on. I don't care. Learned a little something today.
Do your homework.
You can get 3 hours
of homework.
No,
your
geography homework. From 9 till noon today on AM 980 The Beast. Jim, we love you, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Beach Show.
Palo Duro Canyon, y'all. See ya.
Thank you, man.
Sergeant Terry Jeffords from Brooklyn 99 in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, he is the host of World's Funniest on Fox Friday nights at 9. Please welcome actor Terry Crews.
Hey, ho, 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 ho. You got the best theme song in the world.
You do.
You really do, by the way. It's awesome. Terry, it was so interesting hearing you and Allie exchange tips on working out in the gym. I really enjoyed listening to you masters of the physical form.
Yeah,
I'm gym adjacent.
Terry, how much do you work out? Let's talk about this.
Oh, no, I work out every day.
Every day.
I do something every day. But, you know, I'm a little ADD, and I need my workout to get myself going, or I'm literally a nervous wreck. If I don't kind of burn out a lot of that energy and the whole thing, I mean, this is me calm. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So imagine when I haven't burned off the energy. So
you worked out this morning already?
I already did. I got up at 3:50 a.m. The whole day was in the gym by 4 and was done by 6 and got in the car to come here.
Now, is there such thing, Terry, in your mind, and are you concerned about your body getting too big?
No, no, it's not about big. Let me tell you something. I've never worried about being big. For me, it's about being athletic, about being as able-bodied as possible. I'm 47 years old, and I really don't care about, you know, how it looks. It's got to be, it's my youth has to come from the lifting and the energy and the running and the whole thing. And then the way I look comes from that. So it's kind of like I don't really worry about looks. I just worry about being the best individual I can be, and then it kind of comes around.
See, this happens every time we have Terry in. We feel like we should go to the gym right now.
Right.
Like, I need to go work out right now.
Well, you know what? Think about it. You know, back in the old days, you worked all day. I mean, like, for real, when you wanted a salad, it took 3 hours. You know what I mean? You had to go, you know, till the ground and go get the lettuce and go get a radish and kill a chicken if you wanted a chicken salad.
I would never.
None of us remember those days, though. You know that, right?
But now everything just comes to you. We can spend our whole day sitting down.
Yes, doing everything.
You can, literally a whole day get paid to not move at all.
That's what we strive for. That's what we worked so hard for as a society, is to get to the point where we didn't have to go out and hunt our own food.
Mike Judge and I made a movie like that called Idiocracy, which talked about you know, when I saw the hoverboard thing with the kids, I said, oh my God, what are we doing? I mean, now you can just stand your way into everything.
Yes.
I mean, you don't even have to walk anymore.
Right, it's perfect.
Oh my God.
Terry, how do you feel about, I mean, obviously you work hard and you know you look good, but I feel like this season on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, they have exploited you by how many times they've made you take your shirt off and work out on camera. I mean, they really do figure out a lot of ways to work that into the script. I mean, you know that everybody's standing around just looking at you like you're a piece of meat, right?
Yeah, yes, but I let myself be objectified for ratings. It's okay. No, but, you know, the show is good. Everybody has what they bring. I know the funny thing about me being big and me having muscle and being funny, it's kind of like it's my own world. No one else has that. And I know for the good of the show and for the good of my career, I love the comedy and muscle mix. I'm going to stay with that thing forever.
It does seem to be working for you quite well.
It's working.
Let's talk about Neil deGrasse Tyson, who was on the program.
Yeah.
I can't imagine both of you guys together.
It's my man. Director of the Hayden Planetarium. I mean, all we had was questions for him. It was just like
we had him on for, I don't know, 8 minutes or something.
Yeah.
And we wanted to talk to him for the rest of our lives.
Oh, no, he will blow your mind. Yes. I mean, you literally tilt out. When he starts talking about the facts, the physics, the whole thing, you're like, oh, my God, this is weird. The rules don't matter anymore, you know. What am I? Who am I? Where am I? Is that chair really there? I don't know.
The amount of energy coming from the two of you must have just blown that place away.
Oh, it was. I could see a total spinoff with me and him. I mean,
I'm
going around, you know, he's a big guy, too. He's not a small guy. He's a giant guy. But we could run around and just intimidate people into science. I would love that.
It was hilarious. For folks who didn't see that episode, they show Terry's character in the gym with Neil deGrasse Tyson, who is lifting about twice as much weight as Terry is.
He's out-squatting me.
it was so funny. By the way, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and we've talked to you. We've had you on before, Terry. I mean, that show debuted great and has just gotten better. It's so hard. It's hard to think of another cast. Maybe Veep is the only one that comes to mind. That's another cast of actors that's so deep, where everybody on the show is so funny. There's no wasted characters, and the writers are so genius that they managed to make all of those characters work.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like a sport thing where you're in a zone. You know, you see Stephen Curry, he's just, anything he throws up goes in. But that takes a lot of effort, you know, when he was a kid and all that working. When you look at all the guys on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, from Joe Latrullio, Andy Samberg, Melissa Fumero, Stephanie Beatriz, the whole cast, we all could have our own shows individually because we've done enough stuff. And now, when we get together, it's just a flow. It's a zone. You know what I mean? I can just dish it off, no hand, no look, and somebody's dunking it anytime I turn around. And that's how we feel on our show. It's the best experience ever. It's like my new, it's my total family. I got my family at home, and then I got my family at work.
But how about us?
Well, you know, you're my neighbors.
That you only see once a year.
Can I have a cup of sugar, please? Thank you.
But we had Stephanie in not long ago.
Yeah.
She plays Rosa on the show.
Yes.
And we were so blown away by how different she is from Rosa. Like, you couldn't believe it was the same actress.
She is totally different. I mean, giddy, happy, giddy.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, she puts on Rosa. But this is, it's so weird because it shows how great an actress she is.
Yeah.
Because that is, I mean, if you don't know her, you know she would kick your ass. Because for real, she is the baddest one in the precinct. Like, people think
above
Terry
you?
Jeffords is strong and all that stuff. But Rosa has no rules. She'll find any way. I would be a little like, no, don't do that. But she's just like, okay, I got to kill him. It's all good.
I want to get Terry Crews here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about, among other things, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which airs Sunday nights at 8:30 on Fox. But everyone knows that because everyone watches. I want to give a shout out before we take a break, Terry, to your TV wife, Maren Dungey, who's a good friend of the Kevin Bean Show, who we love so much.
Love.
And I hope she is listening. And please stop putting babies in that room. Let her get up and get outside once in a while, all right?
The episode where she had the baby was so hilarious. Let me tell you something. And Maren is a classic. She's been, you know, again, a true vet in the industry. Everything she's done has been hilarious.
Oh, she's
and wonderful.
Outstanding.
And I'm just honored. You know, we get the greatest guest coach. We had the guest stars. We had Nick Offerman come through. We got Katie Sagal coming in this week.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's Naiva Longoria, all this stuff. But it comes from, you know, the industry being fans of the show, too. And it feels really good when your peers like the show.
That's right. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is Sunday nights. Friday nights is World's Funniest that Terry also hosts now in its second season. We'll talk about that. And also, he's got a new movie coming out on Netflix that you've heard about. He'll tell us the real deal about Ridiculous 6 when we return with Terry Crews right after this on K-Rock. Actor Terry Crews in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, also the host of the World's Funniest on Fox in its second season. By the way, I know you're a guy who loves to laugh, Terry.
Yes.
You're a guy who loves those videos where a kid gets hit in the face with something.
Right? I do. I do. You know, hurt children is just funny.
It's funny.
I love when my own kids just bang their little heads, and you're like, oh. And my kids know to be ready for it. They're like, no! First thing they do is look at me. Because
they
know I'm going to be like,
Terry has a kid falling down the stairs, and he's like, oh, I didn't get it on tape. I'm so sad.
I know. I'm like, man, why didn't you wait for my camera to be ready? You know? And I'm like, Daddy's making me mad.
Do it again.
But I get no mercy when it happens to me.
Oh, sure.
Oh, I stub my toe. Those kids are like, look at you. This is what you get, Daddy.
They learned that from you.
Well, you're very funny as a host on that show. Let's talk about the Ridiculous 6, too. You've been acting for a long time. You've been in
dozens and dozens of movies.
Wow.
But I was still surprised to see you in The Ridiculous Six. I'm sure that's on me. Did you know Adam Sandler at all before?
You know, just a little bit. Like, I love Adam. We've done so many movies together. We did The Longest Yard. That was my first movie I did with him. And then we did Click. He put me in Benchwarmers with Rob Snyder, David Spade, all those guys. You know, we did Blended last year that came out last summer. And, you know,
he's your boy.
And he's my boy. We've been talking about doing this Western, though. He had this thing on the back burner for 10 years. And so there was a time almost 4 years ago it was going to get done, and then it just went away. And now with Netflix, it just came back. Now, this is the thing. Netflix is going to change the game in a lot of ways because, you know, here, box office really doesn't matter, which is kind of nuts. And they gave us, like, they have all this money. It's a big, giant, you know, theatrical release, but it's going to be on your TV. I think everyone is kind of looking forward to seeing what this is going to be. It kind of feels like the beginning of Apple or, you know, it's like, you know, entertainment can be changed forever.
Well, Netflix, when they first started spending money, everybody was like, oh, wow, that's something, but I'm not sure if they're for real. Then they just keep going, putting out original shows, original movies. It's amazing.
I mean, you look at all the awards nominations just came out. Yep. All the TV shows are rocking. Yeah. All the movies are rocking. I mean, I saw Beasts of No Nation. That was incredible. But you can't make a movie like that now. I mean, that won't get into the multiplex. It's like, it's funny because I go to the multiplex. There are like 20 theaters. And they're only showing 3 movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's not enough choices. And I thank God for a company like Netflix because, you know, Ridiculous Six and whatever's going to come in the future, it just provides a lot of entertainment for the creators to do. You know what I mean? So they gave us no notes. It was like, just go do it.
Well, I mean, look, Adam Sandler's a known quantity. He's one of those guys who kind of steers his own ship. He's got a vision of what he thinks is funny. And it's kind of cool if you're into his movies to have a place that will let him make what he wants to make.
That's
without
it.
30 people weighing in on it.
That's it. I mean, you know, and my thing is, it's always about the creators. I mean, it's funny because you go to a lot of studios and you have a guy who never made a movie ever telling you how to make movies.
Yeah.
And that's really hard. You know what I mean? And it's hard for a lot of guys to deal with because of the box office component. Everybody's like, the pressure's on. Okay, you know what? Let's just take everybody and put them in a superhero suit. Let's just do it again.
Right.
And you end up getting the same things. But now it's going to go back to a little bit like the 60s and 70s where you're going to get some vibes out where people can just do some stuff and experiment. See what happens. You can fail. It's okay.
I can't believe how many people are in this movie, and I'm wondering who you met that you didn't know before that you were excited about. I mean, I'm looking at everybody from Nick Nolte to Danny Trejo to Vanilla Ice in this movie.
But you know, my big one was Harvey Keitel.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Really?
I was actually worked for Harvey Keitel in the movie. I played Chico, who works in his saloon. And let me tell you, man, when I looked at him, I was like, dude, this is Mean Streets. This is, you know, I mean, this is the wolf from Pulp Fiction. You know what I mean? You're like, man, this is Harvey Keitel. He's the guy that goes to De Niro and says, sit down. You know what I mean? Because they came up together.
You can still geek out as a fan, even though you've been in the business
so long. Oh, I geeked out big time. I was so nervous because, you know, you don't want to mess up. You know, this guy invented acting, and you're just kind of like, here I am. But he was the coolest, man. John Turturro, another guy who was in Do the Right Thing, one of my favorite movies. You know, Adam Sandler has the ability to bring superstars to the table. It's just nonstop. It's just the way it is. And
Dan Aykroyd? What'd you talk to him about?
Yeah, you know what? Dan actually did not end up in the movie.
What?
Oh. No, early on it was announced, but they got a lot of different guys in there. But
so you talked to him about how he wasn't in the movie.
Well, I didn't get to meet him yet, but Steve Buscemi is in the movie. And, you know, just everybody, man. It was a pleasure working with my brothers, you know, Rob Schneider, Taylor Lautner, Jorge Garcia, Luke Wilson, who's my Idiocracy homie, and Adam. We all play brothers together, and Nick Nolte is our dad. And he slept around the West and got a little busy and had all different ethnicities and all these different sons, and we got to help him save his life.
You said you're Chico?
I play Chico, the piano player.
Another black guy named Chico.
I'm
so tired of that.
That's what I'm saying. It just gets old. Just Rachel Pilot, man.
All right, I want to talk about Kendrick Lamar's new video.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
These Hoes, how did you get in Kendrick Lamar's video?
I'm a big fan of Kendrick. You
same,
know.
But I'm not in a video.
Yeah, but you know, it was weird because he wanted to do something different. He actually wanted to do something funny, and we came out with you know, the idea was to kind of flip things on their ear. And the way I did it in the video, I was really hardcore.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, the shockaroo is that we're doing the Quan together. And I mean, Kendrick is actually very, very funny. It's kind of fun. It reminds me of Ice Cube when he started. I mean, you're talking to N.W.A., he wouldn't smile. And then all of a sudden he wrote Friday, and it was right. The funniest movie of the year. You know what I mean? Yeah. To this day, this list is one, the whole series is listed as one of the funniest movies ever made. And Cube is comedy. But see, true comedy, you have to actually know a lot of pain. Most comedians have a lot of pain in their life. When you look at the, you know, even Robin Williams all the way to Chris Rock,
yeah.
There's a lot of pain and things that you have to deal with that comedy helps you deal with it. Kendrick is a very serious dude, but when he wanted to do the video, it was like his way of dealing with all the high pressure, you know, big bad things that happen in life. And this is what I do. I come from Flint, Michigan, and I grew up in the crack epidemic, and it's literally a miracle that I'm still here and not in jail, but I deal with that through comedy, and comedy helps me deal, and hopefully it helps everyone else deal, because let me tell you, we are going through a really, really wild time right now. You know what I mean? Everybody doesn't know what's happening in the world. It gets you, everyone's confused, and with a 24-hour news cycle, you tend to think the world is crashing. Mm-hmm. And comedy helps you get through that. You're allowed to laugh at yourself. You're allowed to laugh at other people, and it eases, it pushes the pressure release valve and allows you to get through the day. And that's my job on this earth.
Tell me about, I know you were a Kendrick fan earlier, right?
Yeah! 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 That's my Rocky. That's my Rocky.
Wait, that's your impression of Rocky?
By the way, why are we wasting time on Donald Trump when Terry Crews is available to run for president?
I'm telling you, I think I am going to go. I'm going to run.
Right?
I'm going to run. I'm going to run right out of here and go back home.
Question for you, Terry, and I know you were a Kendrick fan for a long time, going back to Section 80 and then was the Bad City, I think, was after that. But how blown away were you the first time you heard the Pimp record? I mean, because that was like leaps and bounds ahead of what he had done before.
Yeah, well, it's actually a full album. Like, everyone's making singles, but that whole album is made to be listened to from the beginning to the end. It's like watching a movie. The same thing with Good Kid, Mad City. It was the same deal. I literally cried listening to that record. It was unbelievable. It was like a whole movie coming to life in my eyes. And I said, there's very few people. And I get invited to do videos all the time. But the reason I did that one is because Kendrick is a true artist. And that makes the difference. It's kind of funny because you see people in this thing trying to get paid. I mean, you know, there's a lot of that. But when you have a true artist who just doesn't care, he's on a planet all by himself.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
A lot of his music is really out there. If people just think he's a rapper, they wouldn't get it. You listen to his album, there's jazz in it.
Oh, my God. He's a
stuff.
Poet. He's there's rock in there. There's the whole thing. And he really, really pushes the influence, pushes every envelope you can push. And that's what we need right now. You know, we've been Walmarted. You know what I mean? Everybody kind of like big box. So you get this. And that, everything sounds the same.
Homogenized.
And let me tell you, man, when one guy decides I'm going to go my own way, it always stands out. That's USA! Actually me. That's actually Terry Crews. I'm going to stand out,
What's
I love
the,
that. Dude, I'm taking that clip home. I want that USA home.
That's how your phone should ring.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do all my squat sets to that. That's what I'm going to do.
Terry, I know we're out of time, but we've never had the opportunity to interview Kendrick. We've always wanted to because we're big fans too. But what's he like as a person? Is he a quiet guy? Is he a loud guy? What is he?
Very quiet, man. Just really like, what's going on? He's like, hey, it's nice to see you. I mean, just, what can I say? You would never know all because he's just so humble and the whole thing. And then he puts it on stage. It's kind of nuts. It's like, wow, you watch this guy flip into a whole other thing. Again, it's the zone. When a guy reaches that zone where he's practiced so much that now he just gets in front of people and performs, it's just a whole nother level. It's way, way on his own planet.
Well, you can really dance in this video, man. It's,
that's what I'm known for.
You dance and you scare me at the same time.
Yeah, it's
right.
Intense.
That's the deal.
USA! It is intense.
Yeah,
USA!
Yeah, roll on, two more squats.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. The Ridiculous Six with Terry Crews and his friend Adam Sandler is available on Netflix tomorrow. World's Funniest Friday nights at 9 on Fox. And, of course, the always excellent Brooklyn Nine-Nine Sunday nights at 8:30. Always a pleasure to see you, Mr. Crews. Thank you for coming.
Man,
happy holidays to you,
thank
sir.
Thank you, guys. Happy holidays.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:56.
That's Kevin's favorite Christmas song
like
of all time,
all time,
you guys.
All time.
Top three.
It's Hall of Fame.
It's top three.
It's HOF right there. Yeah. Top three.
I like that.
Of all time, Christmas songs.
I like
you
that.
You know the 100 years of Christmas songs they've made? That's number one for Kevin.
That's top
How
three.
About yeah. Dr. Drew Pinsky joining us just after the top of the hour, like you do on Thursday mornings? First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Is it a drawback that they don't mention Christmas in that song at all?
At all.
Once? Is that a drawback for a Christmas song? To be in your top three of all-time Christmas songs, the fact that there's nothing mentioned of Christmas, about Christmas, for Christmas, or with Christmas?
No.
You're spectacular. No. You are a magician.
Well, we were doing...
You're a magician.
We're doing our...
You're otherworldly.
We were
You're
doing
a
our
wizard,
Christmas
sir.
CDs, and we asked them to do a song, and they did, and that
right.
was it. So
and
we knew that
something
that's...
that was tangentially connected to Christmas because it happens in the same month as the one they reference.
Ralph, what's your ruling on Winter Wonderland, another song that has no mention whatsoever of Christmas or Santa or Jesus or presents or trees or anything?
I think it's bogus.
You don't? That didn't count for you as a Christmas
song
either?
It's been sort of co-opted, so I give it a pass, but I wouldn't put it in my top three, I'll tell you that much.
All right. It's been very divisive this year, having this conversation about Christmas music. I think it's tearing us apart, you guys.
And Christmas movies. Don't forget Christmas movies.
No,
still getting a lot of that.
Like Gremlins.
Not a Christmas movie.
I heard it was.
Nope.
A guy wrote a paper.
That's true. I forgot
that's
a
true.
Guy wrote a paper. Hey, I gave my son Ted for Christmas in the movie Ted. Does that make that a Christmas movie?
I think so.
Really?
I think
this logic is just fascinating to me. It's just unerring.
I'm pretty sure that
so
is.
Ted is also now a Christmas movie.
I believe
movie
so, yes.
Because I gave little John the bear that became Ted on Christmas morning, so that makes it a Christmas movie.
Yes.
Ted. Fascinating. Fascinating people I work with.
I feel like maybe you're too angry over this.
Surrounded by fascinating wizards.
I didn't even know Little John
wizards,
was in Ted.
I'm
what?
I'm like Harry Potter. I'm just surrounded by wizards at all time.
Mark that. It went past
the Little
all
John
of
thing,
you.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We heard.
Allie, you can't stop every time Bean does something just
awful. That
was you can't.
Awesome.
You can't just stop it. We'd never get anything done.
But even in the sound virus.
Sometimes you just, it's like... When you're on the freeway,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
you can stop every time you see someone by the side of the road changing a tire or some little
okay.
minor accident and just snarl traffic for miles
okay,
behind
don't
you.
Don't do that.
Don't just
okay.
keep your eyes in front of you. Just stay on track and just keep going.
Walk on.
Walk on.
Got it.
Travel forward. Speaking of walking on, I am an FBI agent. One of the great lines of all time in cinema. Point Break. A lot of people know this. Christmas movie, Point Break.
Is it?
Yeah,
wow.
I realize that. Yeah. Mm. Because the presidents in the movie all celebrated Christmas at some point in their lives.
Okay.
So it ties in.
Okay, I see.
Point Break, of course, a classic from 1991, and now a new movie, and reimagining, if you will, of that legendary story of an FBI agent who has to go undercover with a extraordinary team of mastermind thieves in order to bust him down. But he learns a begrudging respect for these men. What does he do then? His loyalties are torn.
Whose side is he on, Ralph?
That's what I want to know. You want to see Point Break? The new Point Break? I got passes. Red carpet
Yay!
Premiere. It's happening at the TCL Chinese Theater on December the 15th. We are going to have a red carpet world premiere, and you, my good friends, can attend if you call me right now at this phone number, 1-800-520-1067. First five people who get through on that line and get Beer Mug on the other end, you're going to go. Teresa Palmer stars. Edgar Ramirez, great actor. So if you want to see Point Break, give me a call. Look at that. It's 9 o'clock, Ray. Boom. Out of time.
Boom.
What the hell happened? What the hell happened to the time we had together? What's going on? All right.
Yeah.
All right. I'll get you in about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
We'll talk about stuff. Today's celebrity birthdays. Meg Whitman, drummers.
Same time.
41 years old today. That was like Matter and Anti-Matter. That was dangerous. And actress Emmanuel Shrieky is 38 years old today. I had no idea she's 38. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, she looks fantastic.
She's about 18. That's it. I'm Ralph Garman to walk the show with Beat.
Congratulations to Sherry Wilson from Anaheim. Just won tickets for both nights of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015, which is this Saturday and Sunday night. She's going to be on the floor for the for both shows. How about that?
So she made the terrible decision to listen to the Kevin and Bean show today, but correct. It actually paid off for her because she gets to go to the concerts this weekend.
Yes. Hey, I don't know if it's happened. I'm not positive it's going to be worth it yet. We'll have to check in after the show.
All right. Time to catch up with our old friend, Dr. Drew Pinsky from The Love Line, from the KABC in the afternoon, and from HLN Monday through Thursday nights at 6. How are you, Dr. Drew?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Pleasure to talk to you. I wanted to have you on because I was blown away a couple of weeks ago by a story that 60 Minutes did called Heroin in the Heartland. Is there any chance that you saw it, Doc?
I didn't, but I'm already deeply familiar with this whole process. So what questions you got?
Well, for the listeners who maybe missed it, this is how the show gets set up, and this tells you kind of how big a problem it's become in America in 2015.
Federal and local authorities all over the country say it's the biggest drug epidemic today. Not methamphetamines or cocaine, but heroin.
Is that an overstatement? Is it the biggest drug epidemic today, heroin, doctor?
It's the biggest health concern today, and it grows out of the pill epidemic. So, you know, I think people have finally become aware that prescription opioids, opiates, you know, painkillers, and the benzodiazepine class, when they're prescribed together, which they often are highly addictive and highly lethal. And so finally, physicians have gotten that message, and so they're cutting back on their prescribing, they're cutting off patients that are overusing. And what happens to an opiate addict when they're cut off?
They got to find something else.
They have to go somewhere else. They go for a cheaper, better way of getting high. I mean, the interesting thing about humans in addiction, I mean, one of the reasons two standout reasons that makes this disease fascinating is that when a human has it, they behave precisely like a laboratory animal. All those glorious functions of our brain really serve a broken god, meaning a broken motivation, the motivation to get high, rather than the motivation to survive, love our children, get our work done. All that shrinks as a priority, and one priority emerges, and we just behave precisely like lab animals. And so we will go for things that we would have declared months or years before. We would never do that. We do it when we're in that situation.
How did heroin get so easy to get and so inexpensive? What changed?
It's really funny you would say that, because it's the same as any other distribution of illicit substances. The people that manufacture and distribute and price these products, they could do master classes at Harvard Business School. They're geniuses at pricing something exactly where it needs to be, and then increasing supply to the point where they jack up their market, and then they'll start increasing price. It's just a brilliant sort of business plan, and we're helpless. We seem to have no ability to stay or diminish the distribution of any illicit drugs, really, when you get right down to it. I know everyone thinks of heroin as some sort of boogeyman almost, like, oh, my God, heroin. In the drug addict, amongst drug addicts, it's just another drug. And by the way, you know, when you can't get your Vicodin, you can't get the OxyContin, why is heroin substantively different? It isn't. It's just another opiate.
So you're saying it's all good?
That's right. Said Kevin, get on that.
No, it was so interesting and heartbreaking to see this story, and it happened to be set in Columbus, Ohio, the profile that they did on 60 Minutes, when they interviewed a bunch of parents who had lost teenagers or kids in their early 20s, and none of them saw it happen, and all of them thought heroin was for somebody else, and they were shocked to find out that it was not only in their neighborhood, but it was in their home. And they interviewed a bunch of kids who had done the heroin, and they said it was such an easy transition going from the Oxy and the Vicodin to the heroin, and it was so easy to get. And it just turned my whole brain upside down, Dr. Drew, because I remember growing up, heroin was the most evil thing in the world, and you would never in your life encounter somebody who had took it.
It's so interesting that you'd put a label like evil on it's just a chemical. It's just another chemical. And the interesting thing about the transition to heroin is typically what they do is they'll switch to smoking it, declaring, oh, I could never put a needle in my arm. 6 months later, the needle's in their arm. It's just, again, that's the way lab animals behave. We are at the mercy of a drive system in our brain that is that the conscious system, the logical system, the reasoning, executive functioning of the brain, all rather than protecting addicts from their broken motivation, serve the broken motivation. People can't quite understand that. It's why addicts lie. It's why they distort. It's why they do things that they would never do in another condition. But when they have this broken piece of their brain, they can't not do it. It's a feature of the condition. But I'll say something I've said before on this show, which is there's really no such thing as a good drug and a bad drug. Mm-hmm. They're just chemicals that humans relate to. And to me, listen, when I hear about these heroin deaths, I just add up the score in my head and I think, well, most of those deaths are probably people that got back on pills, because you're way more likely to die of pills than heroin, or somebody that was sober for a period of time and then went back out, which is the most dangerous period when they're no longer tolerant to the drug. That's when they'll take their usual dose and die. And the third thing is the really heartbreaking part of this, because I've dealt with lots of these kids, they usually die in their own bedroom, their own little at home, you know, in the bedroom they grew up in.
Yeah, one of these kids that died earlier in the day had posted on Facebook, hey, no partying for me. I'm studying hard for my finals. I'm staying on the straight and narrow. I'm clean and I'm feeling great. And I'm so happy to be alive. And then, you know, 3 hours later, the person was dead of heroin.
In his room. And this is the part that parents don't get. When we're working with parents, imagine what we're telling them, which is kick him out of the house. They're like, what? He'll go to the street. He'll die. Right. Well, you love them to death. You keep them in a safe environment. You give them resources. That's how they die.
Let me play one more clip from the 60 Minutes special, then I have a final follow-up question for you, Dr. Drew. And this is a young woman named Hannah, just a beautiful, like, typical high school girl describing her use of heroin.
Started with weed, and it was fun, and I got to good weed. Went to, oh my gosh, I went to pills, and it was still fun, you know, Percocet, Xanax, Vicodin, all that kind of stuff. And then, yeah, heroin. I started smoking it at first.
To what, 15?
Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was amazing.
You remember it even now?
Oh, yeah. Let's say I've never done a drug in my life. I would normally be happiness at a 6 or a 7, at a scale out of 10, you know? And then you take heroin, and you're automatically at a 26. And you're like, I want that again.
How does heroin get you to a 26 on a scale of 1 to 10? Like, what is it doing to your brain?
First of all, before I'll tell you that in a second, but did you notice the progression she pointed out? It's exactly the progression I just described to you guys.
Yes, absolutely.
Smoking heroin, shooting heroin.
Yep.
You left out the shooting part because they're so ashamed of it. They can't believe they got there, but they always do. What it does, it saturates the opioid, the mu receptors in the brain, and not everybody has euphoria from it. This is one of the reasons that calling something a good drug and a bad drug is so bizarre, is that all of us are configured genetically somewhat differently. Like, for me, I have very unpleasant reaction to opiates. I'm worried that I'm kind of jealous of my patients, because if I ever have cancer or something or I need to take opiates, it's not going to be very good for me. But my patients, they literally love it. Imagine falling in love at a scale of 26, like she said. So it's not just euphoria. It also activates the love and nurturing centers of what's called the anterior cingulate region. So you literally feel like the euphoria of almost like just having had sex or something. That's how people describe
it. Dr. Drew, you've said before that it also only feels that great the first time.
Well,
right?
Not the first time. Well, no, that's which drug was I talking about with that? There's some drugs that, that's cocaine more goes that
okay.
way. Cocaine, it's that they start chasing, and they start feeling worse and worse and worse. Heroin, they feel pretty good. It's just that they start feeling bad and withdrawal. They never feel quite as good as they did early on, and they start having to use more to get what they want back. And it does kind of wane with time. One of the fascinating features of the disease. Even when it no longer works, even when they're not getting the 26, they're just getting a 6 or an 8 out of it and avoiding the horrible withdrawals. But even then, it's not working, they still aren't able to get off it.
Wow, unbelievable. Really eye-opening. And you would be comfortable with me trying it one time just for the experience, right?
Well, remember I mentioned that some people have unique genetic makeups?
Uh-huh.
Being you're nothing if not unique, so God only knows what might happen here. So I'm a little concerned, but also I feel as though there might be some protective factors at work here.
So thumbs up? Or I just love that. I just told Dr. Drew I want to do heroin. He said, I'm a little concerned.
Yeah, he knows you're not going to do it.
All right. Love Line with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood 5 nights a week here on KROQ 70 through Thursdays. Look for him in the weekday afternoons on KABC and, of course, Dr. Drew on HLN Monday through Thursday night at 6. Dr. Drew, thanks so much for the time, sir. Have a great holiday.
Anytime, guys. You too.
Thank you.
That's why you stay out.
That's why you do the right thing and stay out.
If you would think,
yes,
if you wrote the script, people would say, well, that character's too unbelievable. That can't be on television.
He wouldn't say that.
No, no one exists like that in real life.
Bring that up out of nothing.
Go back and rewrite the script and make that person seem like a real person.
Hey, guys, I can hear you. I'm right here. That was an interesting mother effing story I was telling you guys as the song.
We'll be the judge of that if you don't mind. Allie?
Nope.
What's that interesting about? It's a restaurant
right,
in New York
that's
now offering pizza with a topping of pizza.
Right.
They're putting mini slices of pizza on pizza as a topping. Right. How is that not worth a mention?
It just isn't.
It's not
dumb.
A thing. It's not.
It's just more pizza.
Don't talk
it's
to anyone
super
about
interesting.
That.
How is it not super interesting?
Not even barely interesting, let alone super interesting.
But you could get a different kind of pizza as a topping on top of the pizza that you ordered. That's brilliant. That's genius.
I'm going to tell you like this. If you don't shut your ass up, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you.
Tiny slices of the cheesy, doughy Italian goodness perched loft on top of the classic Big Apple snack. What?
We don't care. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
It'd be different if somebody said, you know, there's so many weird restaurants now offering all kinds of odd food combinations.
That never happens.
Then you are begging for it because then you open the door for him to say, oh, speaking of which, I read the other day, then you get what you deserve.
Right.
But you don't just come out of it cold. This is, you are the sucker punch of conversation is what you are. It is just unfair and it's immoral and it's just... It's not fair play is what it is. You can't just walk up to somebody and bang, just hit him in the face with a bag full of nickels. That would no one would agree to that. And you do that with conversation all the time.
And that's because...
And I feel like we have clarified that type of information...
We have said over and over...
We are not in.
Please don't hit us in the face with a bag full of nickels. We've said that to a guy on the street a million times, and yet daily the guy keeps coming up and hitting us with a bag full of nickels right in the face.
Look... Somebody has to bring up new topics. Otherwise, you'd just be talking about the
we
same things
all the time. We don't
want to
talk about pizza with pizza on it.
We love pizza.
It's yes. A pizza on top of a big pizza.
How is that interesting? It's just pizza.
Because
it's just pizza.
Because it's pizza as a topping for pizza. It's the first time it's been done, and that's worth noting.
It's not even doing anything. It's the same thing. You're just eating more of the same product.
Not if you get a different kind of pizza.
It's like saying, I took a little Hershey bar and I put it on top of a big Hershey bar, and now it's a brand new thing. No, it isn't. You're just eating more chocolate.
No, that's not true, because Hershey bars are the same. That is literally the same thing on top of the same thing. But what if you got a cheese and pepperoni pizza on the bottom, and then you put something with, like, garlic and mushrooms on the top? It's just like the
mini pizza. Just putting garlic and mushrooms on top of my cheese and pepperoni pizza. That's
all
I'm
doing. You're just adding more toppings.
You're just adding more toppings. It's the same thing.
Nope.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
It's the same thing as ordering a regular pizza with all those toppings on it.
Boring.
Only it's worse because you're getting more crust.
I think what's happening
just saying,
here.
Why don't you say less?
Is that somebody is jealous they didn't see the story?
Oh, this is turning out to be a total waste of time.
That's what's happening.
Nope.
What's happening is that you're jealous that I saw the pizza story first.
Yes.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
We are all jealous.
But if we say we're jealous, can we move to the showbiz beat?
Yep.
Sure. Well,
okay.
But totally how, jealous. If you don't...
But Ralph, we have. We have. We have features on the show dedicated to... Doesn't help.
Dear Kevin and Bean, where can I get this pizza with a topping of pizza? It sounds
not
amazing.
Interested.
Yes, Michael. Just say it. It's a
Will
great
you shut
idea.
Up?
It's getting goddamn ridiculous.
It really is.
Is what's happening.
Agreed. And you're not in here for most of it.
I'm coming in too soon. I can no longer come in until the microphones are actually engaged. Until the light is on outside, that's when I'm going to start walking.
Ralph will look at the window with thumbs up, thumbs down.
You just let me know. I will run in. I will do this as quickly as I can, and I will sprint back out.
I should leave the microphones on
at all times.
The whole time, and then we wouldn't hear a word he says.
Great point.
You'd miss a lot of good stuff, Ralph, if that's what you did.
Hey, how about a little less questions and a little more shut the hell up?
Doesn't look like Harrison Ford is going to be getting, Donald Trump is going to be getting Harrison Ford's vote when it comes election time next year.
Okay, I was waiting for this.
They're having a little back and forth. Apparently Donald is a huge fan of Harrison Ford's. It doesn't look like it's reciprocal.
Yeah.
In a recent interview with the New York Times, Donald Trump was asked, who's your favorite movie president? These are the questions we're asking our candidates, by the way. This is what happens when you start a campaign 2 years out from an election.
Yeah.
You end up asking questions like, Who is your favorite on-screen president? Donald?
Why would anyone ask that of a candidate for president?
Because you need to know.
But at least he said...
Sit down.
No, he didn't. Oh. He said, my favorite was Harrison Ford on the plane. I love Harrison Ford. And not just because he rents my properties. Because he stood up for America.
Okay.
So someone had to bring that information to Harrison Ford, who responded with the following comment.
Donald, it was a movie. It's not like that in real life. But how would you know?
He said regarding real life. Boom! And he dropped the Millennium Falcon and walked out the door.
Do we know which way Yoda's going?
We have not gotten Yoda's vote yet, right. But I can't imagine. Speaking of Star Wars, have you seen the Chinese movie trailer?
Yes.
The new international trailer. New footage, new lines, new everything.
Yep.
And everybody, when they saw the first trailer, like some people, boink, boink, boink.
Why are you pointing at me?
Oh, I got all cry, misty-eyed, ooh, goose pimply.
Oh, come on, Chewie, we're home.
Chewie, we're home. Blah, nothing.
Oh, my God.
Flat line for me.
Oh.
But in this trailer.
I got a lady boner you wouldn't believe.
In this trailer, he says, don't let me down. Which is what he said to the Millennium Falcon in the first film. Don't let me down, baby.
Did you cry?
I got one of those right up my spine chills. I was like, that's pretty cool. Because that's like a deep cut line from the movie. That was pretty cool. Like, Chewie, we're home. But you hear me, baby? Don't let me down. Got the chills. Pretty cool. You can find that online with some guy in the beginning. It's fascinating. He's holding a lightsaber in a business suit. He's trying to get me to buy something.
It's like a 15-second introduction. I don't know why.
Who he is, but I feel compelled to buy something now. I don't know what it was. The prices for concerts are getting out of hand, right?
Yes.
Let me tell you about Bruce Springsteen, the boss. He's a big draw at all times.
Mm-hmm.
The River Tour. He's doing the River Tour 2016. The River, by the way, an album that came out 40 years ago. He's
1980.
He's bringing that album back, and he's going to play that album in its entirety during this tour.
Okay.
Which I think, wasn't there a River Tour already? Didn't he already do one for that album? No, he's going to do it again.
But with the re-release, it's going to be the first time he's on a tour playing the album from back to front, the whole thing. Plus, he's playing songs he's never played before that were songs he didn't make that album.
Yeah.
Songs that were recorded during that time. It didn't come out until this week.
I think Bruce is out. That's what I'm saying. I think he's out of ideas. Anyway, tickets go on sale tomorrow. And tickets are already being listed, already being sold online.
So you're talking about resale?
StubHub, Ticket Network, okay. Vivid Seats, these kind of things.
Yeah.
Average price? For example, pair at New York's Madison Square Garden. Good seats.
Okay.
For the pair, $5,800.
Oh, no.
$5,800 for two seats.
That's just for two seats that are good, not great?
Yeah.
But you get to play saxophone on Born to Run, right?
Nope. You just sit there and you watch the show along with everyone else.
Wow.
It's getting so out of hand that the New York Attorney General has stepped in to get involved. He's investigating ticket scalpers. Speculative ticketing, they're calling it, where resellers don't even actually have the tickets, but you're paying for them anyway, and then you will get the tickets once they get their hot little hands on them.
Because they know they can buy them from somebody
else. They
know they're
going to get them.
$3,000 or something.
Right.
You sell them to you for $58.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's actually Attorney General of New York State is looking into the practice and trying to investigate it to see what he can do to keep people from being gouged like this.
There are some states, aren't there, Ralph, where there are limits to how much above face value a ticket can be advertised for?
I am not familiar with the law of tickets in the states.
And name them. Name the states.
I'm just saying. Alphabetical order, please.
It just seems like that's one thing that could be done. Look, it's never going to stop people on Craigslist for selling tickets for as much as they can get somebody to pay for them, but at least you wouldn't be able to advertise them for 10 times face value or whatever they end up being in some places if they had that law.
It's just maddening.
It is. It's crazy.
$5,800.
And I'll tell you, and we know this from our K-Rock shows, is that
you start seeing the ads from these ticket brokers to sell tickets that they absolutely don't have because they're before they even go on sale. Nobody has them.
Well, that's what the case with the Springsteen story was, I just told you about. They go on sale tomorrow, and they're already listing these exorbitant prices on these ticket services. It's called speculative ticketing because they know the resellers will eventually get them, but they're selling them before they're even available.
How about if they throw in a pizza with pizza on it as a topping?
I'm going to do us all a favor. I'm going to pull the plug on this patient.
I like it.
Yep.
Today's like celebrity birthdays. Former White Stripes drummer Meg White is 41 years old today. You almost took them back before they were even in the air. I like that. And Emmanuel Shrieky, one of our favorites around here, is 38 years old today. Someone wrote me an email reminding me that when we were talking to her about the Entourage, Bean asked her, when is Sloan going to get a webcam in her bedroom?
He did?
Yeah. That's what he asked Emmanuel Shrieky during the interview. So.
I have the tape.
I'd love to hear some of that.
Here's the next question about Sloan as we get to know Sloan this season on Entourage. Does she have a webcam? Hello?
Be the interview killer.
She couldn't think of a word to say.
She made an audible grunt.
Yeah.
As if that question wounded her.
This is why you fail.
Happy birthday, Emmanuel.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this week.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Taylor Williamson in the studio. Very happy about that. Comedian, friend of ours. RJ Bell is on the program.
Because he's RJ Bell! RJ Bell!
Movie Beat on the program tomorrow. Daniel Wu, who is the star of Into the Badlands. You watching that, Ralph?
Can you hear me, Daniel Wu?
I don't get that reference, but I'm guessing that it's not the right one. We also were going to talk to Disclosure, and we have tickets for you on both nights on the floor for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas.
And we'll have a pizza with a pizza on it.
Right, also that tomorrow.